Blog Talk Radio.
I still believe in marriage is made in heaven, and that love will conquer all. I've been hurt, but not deceived. Regardless through what has happened, I still believe. All things work together for my good. Opposition comes against me, yet I proceed. Cause no matter what I'm facing, I still believe.
Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
and it's time to make that change. Good afternoon, everybody. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. It's Jeff in the air chair with you today. So come on and holler at me and give me a call and tell me what's on your mind, and we'll talk about it. This is Friday, and we just had the Winans. Tracy's pastor singing this song from with Teddy Riley from a long time ago, It's Time to Make That Change. It was a great song back in the day, and had the pleasure of traveling with them for a few months, and it was really fun and very rewarding experience back in the 90s. That's way back when. You know, and wasn't doing talk radio then, but was hooked on it, and it was a good time, very, very, very good time. And I was trying to point out some things here. There was a saying about how that in a democracy, it's not going to last very long. And the reason why a democracy is not going to last long is because once the people figure out that they can vote in benefits for themselves, that's what they'll do till they overload the treasury and destroy the country. Because basically, really, people are selfish. Basically. There are those that aren't. And so it's like really you have to think about people really act. Are they willing to share for real? What's behind this taxing the rich, et cetera, et cetera? I don't think it has anything to do with fairness or protecting the middle class. And all you middle-class people out there that are saying that that you think that you've been protected, I want to hear from you. 330-781-9600 or our unlimited internet lines at 1-347-945-5229. I want to hear from you. Okay? And the reason why I want to hear from you is because I want to know whether you think it was a good thing, the way that healthcare is turning out for those that have it already. And is it going to be a good thing as well that 32 million people will still not have healthcare coverage by the year 2017? Why are we screwing the whole situation to cover 32 million people? Why are we doing it? I don't know. I'm asking. You know, I want somebody to really, really, you know, give me that answer. What's going on? What's going on with that? My deductibles on my insurance plan went up $2,000 for next year. So a total of like $3,500 worth of deductibles I have to meet before my insurance pays anything. My daughter's going to be phased out of my coverage for X amount of time, and they're going to cut what they cover of my daughter's plan that she's supposed to stay on there till she's 26. She can do it, and she's in school, and I want her as long as she possibly can to be on my health care. You know, which I thought was one of the only things, pre-existing conditions and your kids being able to stay on your policy while they're in school are the good things. After that, there ain't nothing happening. $786 billion in taxes inside the bill. And we're talking about, yay, this was a good thing. I think something's wrong drastically. Drastically wrong. Where are you at with it? It's Friday. You can come tell me anything you want. Anything you want. And I'd like to hear from you. So, I see Stanley's in there. Stanley is my liberal friend. That I don't understand the thinking of the far left liberal people. I'm not calling them stupid, because I don't think, you know, I don't think that's an issue. Like I said, I'd really like to know, you know, what are you thinking about the new health care? Has anybody else's health care been affected yet by this? Now, I've worked, you know, mine was a public, you know, policy, because that's who employed me for 30 plus years. But now, is that anything going on with somebody else's, in, you know, out there coverage that is going to hurt them terribly well? The unemployment numbers are still looking bad. Terrible. They're still blaming it on the hurricane right now. I say it has nothing to do with that. We have the fiscal cliff getting ready to happen with the president throwing out plans that they know good and doggone well can't work and nobody's going to vote for. So they figure that they're going to destroy the Republicans once and for all, because if the Republicans allow us to go over the fiscal cliff, then that's what's going to happen. On the good front, we have a local legislator that may have gotten a very good position inside of government to sit on one of the boards and commissions. That would be really nice. You know, one of the boards. And, you know, we'll see how those things turn out as well. Whether it'll help this area to financially gain. We have the potential right now of a boom in gas and natural gas and oil drilling in Ohio. In northeastern Ohio, where we reside here on WSOM600AM.com, WSOM600AM on your radio dial, and on iHeartRadio as well. A boom, because they're finding oil and gas and all of these energy things that we need to have. Yet we see that the EPA, through the Obama administration EPA, is looking at kind of strangling that industry. They should leave that alone, because that's going to be the one thing that will drive the economy so that he can put all of these big, heavy taxes on that he wants people to pay. Well, the only thing that's going to allow you to pay them is going to be the doggone if the economy jumps. And the number one thing that you've squelched in the economy to keep the economy constricted as it is, and why these people voted for the same thing over again, I don't know. You have to tell me. If you voted for the president this past November, I want to hear you tell me why you did it when unemployment is still 7.8%, when there's no jobs out there, record numbers of people are still applying for unemployment. And then on top of that, now that Obamacare is going to go in because of the president winning again and them losing many court challenges to it, I want to say that it's causing people to cut back their workforce so that they don't have too many employees. They're cutting back the hours that people are working to where people are working part-time. And they're not going to hire more people. They're not scheduled to hire more people. Now, businesses in America have $2 trillion sitting in banks. Yet the small banks are so constricted, they're not able to loan the monies to the small businesses that don't have money to operate, and many of them will probably go bust belly up this year. Now, I think that it doesn't have to be that way, but I'm not the president. The president can make those decisions. He can make those decisions, and he's about to, but I'm going to say it's crazy that the things that they want to do will completely destroy capitalism in America. Destroy it. And we're silent. The Democrats won just like they feel like that their sports team won this weekend. And that's how they treat the election. Because they're not watching or challenging their own party on the things that they don't even agree with in their own party. They're just voting willy-nilly. And in fact, there is an underclass of people that are there for their vote. And I'm not trying to repeat what some other talk show host said. I've been saying this all along. You have people that are going to vote just because the government gives them things. And it's no different than when the Klan had people vote for their people in the South and handed people a bottle of whiskey. Now it's a government check and food stamps. Now it's a crazy check for those that are mentally disturbed. Yeah, that's what it is. Where are you at in this? What's on your mind about this? Do you care? Are you talking to your congressmen, your senators? Well, you should be. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be back after these messages.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
This is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook. Or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time. And that's what we do at HeartReach. And we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
What about free shoes for life? If you had a chance to win free shoes for life, would you want it? And if you had a chance to win a $500 gift card each and every month, would you want it? Well, here it is. This year, every time you visit Ryer Shoe Store, you can register for your chance to win free shoes for life. And every month, we're giving away a $500 gift card, too. So zip on over to Ryer's and register for your chance to win. And know this. If your feet are hard to fit, Ryers is your shoe store. We have sizes and a great sales staff who know how to fit you right. Ryers offers superior service, a fabulous collection, and competitive prices. Just by driving a couple more miles, by shopping Ryers, your feet leave with smiles. And a chance to win free shoes for life. No purchase necessary, no tax on shoes. In beautiful downtown Sharon.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's A-M-B-A-S-S-T-E-K.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
I've got one more commercial for you. This is from my man, Mr. Perfume and More.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes, and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Mill Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a T. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost authority on perfumes and colognes. And once you have experienced Mr. Perfume, you'll be a customer for life. Take advantage of the weekly specials at Mr. Perfume and More on selected fragrances and fashion handbags and accessories. Mention you heard this on Tracy and Friends and receive an extra 10% off of your purchase. Not only that, if your birthday is on a Friday in November, be the first customer through the door on your birthday and you'll receive a free perfume or cologne valued at $45 or more. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Call 330-629-2816.
And we have it here, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, here on WSOM 600 AM, 1229, 29 minutes after the hour, 12 noon. Hope your lunch is going down fine, and you're here talking to us and listening to us at Tracy and Friends, WSOM 600 AM, WSOM 600 AM on iHeartRadio, at TracyandFriends.com. You can hear us, and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends as well. We're all over the place, and we invite you to get involved and give us a call and tell us what's on your mind this wonderful, wonderful Friday afternoon. It is getting a little warm here again, which I love. I tell you the truth, I do not like cold weather, and I live in Northeast Ohio, so go figure. I've just never been able to escape for more than 4 years at a time, so I do not like it, but, you know, it's beautiful, but, you know, that cold gets old real quick, you know, especially when you get over 20, you know, and I'm just past 20 years old, you guys. So anyway, I wanted to also, you know, we threw up a couple things about what's going on, you know, in the country and with healthcare. Healthcare is a great mess, but now, how many of you ever wanted to go overseas and go to Israel or Egypt? And I'm not going to tell you you're not going to be able to do it, but it's going to be really deep. It's going to be deep about, you know, whether you're going to be able to go there anymore. And they just redid their new constitution. And just before the Constitution was put in place, all the liberals, the leftists, the Christians, the moderate Muslims withdrew before the vote. Now, they got this law that retains Islamic Sharia law as main source of legislation. No equal rights for women, and owning slaves is not banned. Now, I'm wondering what's going through the president's mind at this particular moment, seeing that he caused this and fomented this Arab Spring to happen in Egypt and in Gaddafi, you know, overthrowing Gaddafi as well, and in where they're trying to get the man out of Syria, and he's holding on for all he's worth, and they keep on saying, well, today, you know, they took over this one, and he might win. He might be having the lead very soon. And Charles is not going anywhere. He's sitting there doing what he wants to do, rearranging the money that he's going to take in case he has to go, and it's not going to happen. Not like that, because he's got a whole lot of arms to deal with, because, by the way, Syria is where the arms that were in Iraq went. Shh, don't tell nobody. Don't tell anybody that. You know, they don't want to know that, although they know that they went there because – and here's the thing. How stupid are we to always keep coming up with this Bush lied thing when we supplied all of the weaponry for Saddam Hussein to use against Iran for 10 years? Please wake up, everybody. Understand what political theater is, and when you get political theater, you have two sides trying to make the other one look like a demon. Now, you got 51% of the vote to keep the one guy in. Don't think that he's the good guy just because he's the one that won. Because once again, you've created a class of people that will vote for you because they get things. Mitt Romney may have said it different and wrong. I don't think he said it wrong. He said the truth. That's how they won this election. If you go look at a spread of the election, you're going to look. And all throughout the United States, you have tons of red everywhere that voted for Romney. Then you have these little small smatterings of blue in the huge population areas that are where Obama won the election, which means your inner cities where you have a lot of blacks, Hispanics, poor whites, working class, and they bought the narrative. They believed that this man was telling them the truth. And now they're slowly waking because the covers are not off yet. Benghazi, the covers are not off yet, totally. On the Fast and Furious, the covers are not off yet. You're going to see a lot more revealed, and you're going to know what you got there in the White House.
Well, I'm happy with what we have, Jack.
I know you are, Stanley.
So I have no problem. You could bring all the stuff that he needs. I don't trust Romney. I'm sorry. He's not the president. I'm happy he wasn't the president because, like we said, we won the election because we didn't trust him. And that tells you, as a Republican, you got to get a better leader.
Well,
I've told you many times, a Ron Paul would have done better than Romney. A lot of young people, me included, would have been a lot more happy. Ron Paul's
crazy, and you
no,
can't
Ron
have
Paul
a.
No, Ron Paul tells the truth. Ron Paul is not crazy.
Ron Paul is
the truth.
Listen,
of things that you, as a Republican, don't want to hear. He's the
No, Stanley. Whoa.
Jeff, you don't want to hear what happened with 9/11. You don't want to hear what is a blowback.
What happened with 9/11, Stanley?
Nothing. You think America is all nice and we've done nothing wrong?
No. Stanley, you must not have ever listened to me.
You must not ever have listened to me
because I will never tell you that.
Almighty that's never done anything wrong.
That's a lie. That's a lie. That's not what I've said ever.
It's a lie, so act like it is. Don't act surprised. Oh,
no.
9/11 happened. Oh, my God, this happened. I wonder why. Oh, I wonder.
Stanley, now, I am not a person that thinks the United States has done all kind of good things all the time. Remember that my relatives, that I can trace my grandfather's grandfather getting off a ship at Sumter, South Carolina. So that's number one. That is not true what you're saying. Number two, we've done some terrible things. You know, things like the Vietnam War. That's some terrible things. How we set some of these countries up and set them to fail. We have a mixed bag of people in the United States. We have good people and bad people.
So how come you can't say that we made a mistake when we went to the Iraq
War? We did not make a mistake.
That was a mistake. If you do
mind, it is.
Ask American people right now, and did you tell them, do you think the Iraq War was worth it, yes or no? Trust me, you would lose.
It doesn't matter whether I lose or not, Stanley.
Yeah, it does matter because that tells you that people are more informed. That tells you that people don't agree with what you're saying.
Stanley, I don't care whether you agree with me.
Well,
you have to understand
that. The American people don't agree.
No, because people are ignorant, Stanley. Listen. People are ignorant of the facts.
Okay, so
the fact is,
American people are ignorant. What about you? Maybe you're ignorant of what happened.
I'm not ignorant, though,
okay,
but because I can tell you what happened.
Stretching them, keep on telling you there was no weapon. Where are the weapons? Show me the weapons.
Ask Mr. Bashari in Italy, in Syria.
Any weapon? Show me the weapon. Even Fox didn't show the weapon.
Listen. Listen. Stanley, where did Saddam Hussein get his weapons from?
We sold him some weapons, but that doesn't mean that he
sold him or gave him?
Yeah, we gave him or we sold him some
weapons.
And
why did we give him the weapons?
Because we were against protecting against Russia invading them.
No.
Well, I remember for Saddam Hussein why we did it.
No, well, that's not why you did it. And that's why I say people are ignorant. You gave them, and that's ignorant is not a negative term. It just means you're without knowledge on the subject. Now, here's what happened. We backed Saddam Hussein in his 10-year war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
They had a border war, a very bloody border war.
Yeah.
And we gave him weapons that kept Iran at bay. Russia supplied Iran.
Okay.
So now, when Saddam Hussein got mad at us for not letting him take Kuwait because they were slant drilling under his country, and Margaret Thatcher got mad because that was BP Oil's oil field, and you know, it's a, you know, some other things. We stopped him. That was under Bush 1. And he got ticked off.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we went over there and had to stop him. Then he was going to trade his oil on the dollar. I mean, on the euro. And when he went to trade his oil on the euro, we couldn't really deal with that. And this is what I'm telling you. This is what was wrong about that war. Okay, this was the wrong part about it. We went to remove him from power. That's when Clinton said regime change in Iraq is necessary. That was what his State Department put on the record. That's why when Bush got in, he was immediately getting the resolutions, the 17 United Nations resolutions, to go in that country to inspect so that we could take his weapons so that we could overthrow him without a war. Well, he resisted that, and because he resisted
Jeff, you're telling me all this didn't justify to have 3,000 American soldiers die.
Just want to ask you the question.
Does it justify, was it a must that we needed to do that?
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
You asked me the question. Wait a minute. Now you asked me a question. I give you the answer, and then you're gonna tell me no, and
no,
you didn't let me.
No, it wasn't. Tell me. Okay.
Okay. This is why.
Okay, let's say you are right. Saddam Hussein had the weapon and everything. What could he do with it? Could he come with those weapons and explode something in America? No.
No, that wasn't the point.
Okay. So what's your point?
Thank you. You want
to
know the point?
World.
Here's the point. It doesn't have anything to do with the police of the world.
Okay, so what does it have to do? What is the American threat for Saddam Hussein? Let's say he does have a weapon, but I don't believe.
You
want to
know now? Are you going to let me tell you? You're going to keep asking the question.
Go ahead.
Okay, once again, we supported Saddam Hussein in a war against Iran. Iran is the problem. Iran is the one that is trying to get and walk over in that country and grab that oil supply so that they would have the number one oil supply in the world at that time. We found out we got more oil now than they have. But as far as it goes, Iran has the third largest oil supply in the world. Iraq has the second largest oil supply in the world. We knew where Saddam Hussein was, and he was getting ready to make alliances with Iran that they had fought for 10 years, which would have destroyed balance of power in the Middle East. Well, we couldn't let that happen, and we did.
What? Why couldn't we let it happen?
Because it would have destroyed our economies.
Why would it destroy our economy?
Because they would have locked oil up, Ryan. Oh, my goodness. They would have locked oil up, Stanley.
Basically, they would have had power and oil, and you're against...
No, they would have had your country.
Let's go to your logic. So
I'll tell you right after this message. Be right back.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. A vacant house is a total loss after a big fire yesterday evening near downtown Youngstown. The home is located on Henry Street near the Market Street Bridge. The structure was covered in flames before firefighters were dispatched there. The cause has not been determined. Officials have identified the 47-year-old man who was shot to death in a housing project Wednesday in Campbell. He was James Hills. Officers say Hills had been shot multiple times in the abdomen and back. Neighbors say they heard a loud argument before the gunshots. And Ohio schools would get old-fashioned A through F grades under a new performance ranking system that has cleared the Ohio House. Representatives voted 58-27 to pass the voluminous ratings overhaul yesterday, sending it to the Senate. Senate President Tom Niehaus has also made the proposal a priority in that chamber before the two-day session ends next month. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Introducing Mr. Perfume and More, the area's most recent discount outlet for perfumes and colognes and the most beautiful handbags and accessories. Mr. Perfume is located in the Mill Creek Plaza at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. Come in and let Mr. Perfume find the fragrance that will fit you or your significant other to a T. Mr. Perfume is the area's foremost authority on perfumes and colognes. And once you have experienced Mr. Perfume, you'll be a customer for life. Take advantage of the weekly specials at Mr. Perfume and More on selected fragrances and fashion handbags and accessories. Mention you heard this on Tracy and Friends and receive an extra 10% off of your purchase. Not only that, if your birthday is on a Friday in November, be the first customer through the door on your birthday and you'll receive a free perfume or cologne valued at $45 or more. Open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. Call 330-629-2816.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service. So call now.
800-378-2281. 800-378-2281.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Woo! Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook. Or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers, present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time. And that's what we do at HeartReach. And we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
putting America and our valley back to work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
Like ETI Technical College, creating quality programs in demand fields with options that save you time and money.
We offer several different programs, law, business, medicine, web design, accounting, some skilled trades. We give the students an opportunity to focus the curriculum solely around their area of interest, trimming away a lot of the fat, you know, saving them time, saving them money. Two things as you get older, you're going to wish you had more of, it's time and money. And a college like ETI is able to save you both.
Putting America and our valley back to work. To find out how your business can be a part of our program, call 330-783-1000. That's 330-783-1000.
Daring Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends here on WSOM 600 AM, 12 minutes before the hour, 1 o'clock. And we were talking to one of our guys from up in New York, Stanley, who is very liberal. And here's the thing. We can see only what we see around us most of the time, because all politics are local, and we don't see world pictures. We don't understand that when you are in, if you shut down the Strait of Hormuz, that your allies in Europe will die. But we don't understand that.
Right,
we don't understand that. When there's an imbalance of power and you have one power saying, as soon as we get a nuclear weapon, we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Your only one balanced ally in the Middle East is Israel.
But once again,
if they go down, England and the rest of the UK, all of that area, they go down too, because they're dependent upon that oil coming out of that Middle East. So therefore, our interest then becomes a country with a man that won't let us come take his weapons that we gave him, so that we can make sure we're there to stop his neighbor, who is very close to creating nuclear weapons, because they have the money, the time, and on everything on their side. Now that we have reelected the president that does not stand strong with Israel. Didn't say he didn't stand with him. He doesn't stand strong with him. Just the comment alone that Israel needs to go back to 67, pre-67 borders is a slap in the face to Israel. You have to understand that. And I don't understand American Jewish people. I love you. I love the Jewish people, mishpacha, because of my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible, etc. And I believe that the Bible says you keep that land. Why don't you vote that way? I don't understand. Tell me, call me, tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong. I mean, seriously, I want to know. Because that's what's going on. Israel is in a battle for the world. Stanley, you are live if you want to talk.
I want to ask you a question. You keep on saying that basically we went there because Iraq basically went against 16 of the UN Security
17.
Council. 1716. But, okay, 17 Security Council resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. How many violations that Israel did? By the way,
I don't know. I know that they have quite a few.
So let's go do a little research on Google. Do you know Israel did 32 security resolution violation? No. I'm going to your logic. Iraq did 16. Israel did 32.
What is this resolution violation
that Israel did? How come we don't invade that country?
For what?
As American, we don't invade by that country.
For what reason?
Another country who has that same thing, Turkey and Morocco, was another country who had 16 UN resolution that wasn't done also. So,
and what position to hurt them? What position to hurt us were they in?
So, but I'm going to what you're saying. You're saying,
Iraq
violated 16 UN Security
Saddam
Council
Hussein.
Resolution. So, you don't even know how much Israel was. Israel did 32 UN resolutions.
I don't know what I don't know what those resolutions were either.
Okay.
But the thing is when you have military resolutions, you can get charged with jaywalking and not go to prison. But if you get charged with bank robbery 32 times, that's a different thing.
I like your logic. So in your eyes, Israel never do anything wrong?
I didn't tell you that at all. No, sir.
So what did Israel do anything wrong? Because I keep on hearing you saying.
You looked it up. You tell me. What did they do?
You. You're the one who knows. You're the one who's preaching that you're so much for this and you're so much. I can't believe Americans are not protecting Israel. It's so bad and this and that. So you must
I didn't tell you.
Something great.
I didn't tell you that. That's not what I told you either.
So what are you saying? So
okay,
let's say America decide not to protect Israel. How is it going to be bad for us?
Okay. It's going to be bad for you because it's something that you're not going to understand or believe. So you don't have to worry about that part of it. Just take my word for it on a thing because you don't believe in God. I do. Okay.
Yeah, but if we take out God, how is it going to be bad?
Well, if you take out God, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter about anything. So
we're protecting him only because we believe in God?
No, you're protecting them because of the balance of power in the Middle East that allows your allies to still be alive and their economies to thrive. If Iran had gotten control of Iraq's oil or he had started selling it on the euro, it would have destroyed your dollar and it would destroy your country, your allies' country that spend it upon you as well, et cetera, et cetera. That's why you went. And you went also to keep in check the crazy man, Ahmadinejad, in Iran.
Why is he a crazy man?
Because he's already threatened it.
He doesn't believe the same way that we do, so he's a crazy man? Because
he's a crazy man because he said, as soon as I get a nuclear weapon, I'm going to ideologically wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
And first of all, you don't know if he's going to do that. So,
he said he's going to do it.
What you're saying, Jeff, you keep on repeating things, but you're forgetting. You think the rest of the prime minister of different countries didn't say bad things to other countries? I don't hear you saying what our president said to the bad country, what Israel said to bad country.
Who's threatening somebody with war, Stanley?
Israel never said something bad. He said what he believes.
They haven't.
That doesn't mean he's going to
Listen, Israel is armed to the teeth, and they're not threatening anybody except Iran.
Israel's not threatening anybody. Israel's a perfect.
I said Israel's not threatening. See, Stanley, you're going crazy. I can't let you do crazy, okay? You're going to have to slow down and talk because I didn't say that. You put that word in my mouth. Okay? And I got you muted. You put that word in my mouth. I didn't tell you that Israel didn't say anything bad or do anything bad. I told you Israel is armed to the teeth, and they're not threatened to wipe anybody off the face of the earth. They are in a defensive posture, and that's their posture. They're not trying to conquer and wipe out the ideologies that don't believe like they do, like Ahmadinejad is. Okay? They're not trying to do that. Do you understand that the belief of Islam and radical Islam is that if you do not bow your knee to Allah, then you are an infidel and it's okay for me to kill you? Don't you understand that, do you?
No, because Christians...
That's what I thought.
Because Christians said the same thing back in the day.
No, they didn't. Nobody's Christian. Stanley... Nobody's Christian threatened anything like that. No Christian period.
Jeff, crusade, remember that? Remember
who were the crusades, Stanley?
Who was the crusade? Basically, there were a bunch of Christian people that wanted
Christians
to...
Christians or Catholics?
Catholics are Christian, by the way.
No, sir.
Yes,
that, now, once again.
Yes, they are.
Okay, once again, I'm going to prove something to you. Now I'm going to bring South Carolina in this combination. Do you remember what was on the shields of the Crusaders?
Yeah, the Red Cross, the cross.
It was not a cross. It was an Ankh, A-N-K-H. An Ankh is the sign of eternal life in Egyptology. In paganism, okay, paganism, the start of Constantine's church were pagans that paraded as Christians. Those are who went and built the great armies with the bishops and things like that and went on the crusades and said that you could not, if you did not become a Christian, we're going to kill you. And, Christopher Columbus was really a Jew, and changed his name to a Christian name so that he could do business with the government.
You like to pick and choose people who are Christian.
No, I'm telling you history.
No, you like to pick and choose people who are
No, I'm telling
Catholic
you that those crusades were pagans.
Okay,
they were not Christians.
Catholic or Christian is the same
no,
way that...
No, Catholics... The
okay,
Catholics of that
Christian.
Day
you're
were
not.
Not
Catholic, I'm not Christian. Go do a study.
Doc, I'm so far past you, Stanley. I'm way past you on the study.
Okay, go ahead.
South Carolina, please balance this out because I'm trying to tell him it's not that I have anything against any Catholics or anything, but the early Catholics were pagans. That's
very
why the that's why the holidays are all pagan holidays.
Wow.
Catholics are not Christian.
I'm
not going to tell you that now. I'm going to tell you.
Catholic, you're not Christian.
Stanley, the system
is not Christian anymore. Wow.
No, I'm telling you now.
Hey, wait a minute.
Let it rant for a minute. Stanley, now wait a minute. First of all, I didn't tell you that the Catholics aren't Christians. I'm telling you that Catholics of today are very much Christian-minded.
Okay.
But the thing is, wait a minute.
When Catholics are Catholics, you have to accept Christian, you have to accept the good and the bad. That means the crusade.
Once again, Constantine's Catholics were not Christians. They were pagans.
Part of your history. That's another Catholic that used to be believing Jesus. That's part of your history. You can't pick and choose, Jeff.
Once again, they're not part of my history at all. But
you're Christian. They're part of your history.
No. The church was there. And okay, Stanley. Let South Carolina answer. South Carolina, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, not too much. Hey, the thing about it is, you know, and Stanley is
South. Sorry. All right, we got to go to this break here. I'm on a hard break and didn't know it. Talk to you in a minute. Be right back.
Into a small explosion at a Social Security.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Stanley.
No, I'm tired of Christian covering up. Hitler wasn't a Christian. Well, this guy wasn't a Christian. And we look at them and say, so you're taking all the bad stuff that you've done and you're basically saying things are not Christian? Really?
What you got to understand, Stanley, is you got to look at it in the context. You got to look at it in the context of history, okay? That's what people are saying, okay? You know, and even today, we got individuals that call themselves Christian that do not hold to the Christian principles of the Bible. They do not. So that's like you know somebody saying, okay, well I'm a police officer, but has never gone through the training. You know, the only thing they got is a uniform. Having a uniform doesn't make you a police officer. You know, that's what.
But South Carolina, everybody picks and chooses what they want in the Bible. So
not everybody picks and chooses.
You know how many domination there is in Christianity?
I know. You don't have to explain that one to me. Here's the thing.
You're not a Christian. You're an atheist. I'm looking at all.
So see, Stanley here. What you're looking at is individuals. Just like you're an atheist, okay? But there's another atheist out there that does not hold to the same thing that you do, okay? This atheist say, "Well, I don't believe in God, but I do believe in this principle." Are you going to say he's less of an atheist?
Yeah, but atheist is not a religion.
He calls him no verity.
The only thing that atheist has in common is we don't believe in God. That's it. The rest has.
Stanley, here's the thing. You don't believe in God, so you're saying that everybody that does believe in God is a hypocrite, or everybody that does believe in God to believe a certain way. You're trying to prove your unbelief.
No, I'm not trying to prove my unbelief.
You point out that, hey, this Christian believes this way, this Christian believes that way. You're trying to point out that Christianity's wrong for making an argument for you to believe that atheism. I don't do that. If you want to be an atheist, That's your business.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. But it seems like atheists are hell-bent on making sure that religions do not see the light of day because they don't believe it.
No, we're not hell-bent on this. We're not. Atheists is just telling you we do not believe in your concept.
No, Stanley. Have you ever heard of Madeline Murray O'Hare?
We do not combat like this because atheists Madeline, come back to your atheists. Foolishness when you say God did that, and we're looking at you. What the hell you're talking about?
Okay, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Out of it, and then you're blinded. A lot of Christian, you're blinded. You don't know what you're talking about. And then when you tell you prove your case, and then if tomorrow you can prove God, if tomorrow God was proof, I would be the first one saying you were right, and I would have no problem being saying you were right.
This is why I have such trouble dealing with liberals. I'm going to tell you why, because you're so dead sold out to your point that you walk over, you don't let anybody speak, and when somebody does speak, you call them an idiot.
No, I'm not calling you an idiot. I'm saying that when you're telling us as an atheist, why are you attacking us? We're not attacking you. We're saying you're coming with a concept of saying God exists, and we're just saying we don't believe you. That's what we're saying.
And then
instead of being rational people and saying, you know what, this is the reason God exists, or coming or stating your point, because in go ahead.
Stanley, stop. Okay. Incorrect.
I'm listening to what you're saying. Go ahead.
It's that time. Y'all hearing me in that room? Afternoon with Tracy and friends. We're here talking to you about what's on your mind and giving you a little bit of what's on our mind here. It's Friday, and we're here talking about a number of things that are going on. And I just wanted to let you know that regardless of what you hear, you know, in political banter around people, there's information that you can know that is going on that you don't have to wonder about. And it is absolutely, there was no question that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction because we gave them to him. That's the most crazy thing that I can tell you. But Syria has them, and that's where they're fighting and killing people with right now in their own country. Compliments of Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
But South Carolina, go ahead, my friend. And then 7330-774, you'll be up.
Hey, Jeff, we just had a conversation there. And I just had to tell Stanley, you know, look, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, the liberal and the, and, you know, he's an atheist, but they want to make it sure that we as a Christian look stupid.
Right.
Who are the food.
Whose noise is that in the background?
That's my noise.
Oh,
that'd
okay.
be me. I'm muted.
Yeah.
Good. Hello? Okay, 774?
Okay. Hello. Well, I was about to mute it. I just wanted to correct something. Two pieces. The Constantine's army was 700 years before the Crusades, so what anything he did actually wouldn't matter, but possibly what you're calling an ankh is not an ankh, but is the Chi Rho. It's the first two letters of Christ written in Greek.
I know what they put on it, but it doesn't change the symbol anyway.
No, you're absolutely wrong, and I have to just reject what you're saying as a falsehood. And please accept this as a rebuke, okay? What I'm telling you is the Chi Rho is like the letter P with an X through it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually it's the X with a P going through it. So what we had was that was what he was to have seen in the sky and what he put on the shield. Seven centuries later, at the First Crusade, that they put crosses and Chi Rhos on their shield. And it wasn't to give honor to Egypt, it was to give honor to Christ and Christ alone. And one other thing very important about the Crusades, they were not an offense, but a defense. They were in response to to what was then the Muslim invasion and occupation of the Holy Land, which they just co-opted into their own faith.
Part of that is absolutely correct. I agree. In response to that, but then how do you explain the Great Inquisition of Spain, et cetera, et cetera?
Now you're 400 years later after the First Crusade.
Once again, I'm just telling you that the system was a pagan system, not a Christian system. It had nothing to do with Christianity. And whether now we have wait, let me make my statement. Whether now we have made the crossover where the Catholics that I believe people that worship in the Catholic Church are absolutely Christians, if they believe in Jesus Christ, of course, even though they have a lot of pagan symbolism around them, I still believe that they are Christians. But the system, you cannot deny that the holidays and the timing of the holidays and the names of the holidays are pagan.
Okay.
How do we celebrate? How in the world do you, as a Christian, celebrate a Easter Sunday?
Because in other languages, it's not called that.
Oh my God! It's Easter.
Well, see, there you go. Because in English, we say Easter. But you know, in the pre-Christian Jewish faith, it was common to face east to pray, not face towards the temple, because when Daniel prayed and faced east, and when he was a prisoner in Babylon, Jerusalem was to the back of him.
Okay.
So it was obvious that facing east had some other meaning altogether. It had no pagan symbolism. Calling something Easter is simply those of us in the West were looking to the east. It does not have to do with sun. That is an atheist. That is people who are doing the same thing Stanley is doing, bringing other things into it to justify their hate against Christianity.
Well, I don't have a hate against Christianity at all. Go ahead, Sal.
You don't have a hate against it. It was the people who brought up the argument.
But here's the problem you run into. No matter which side of, you know, there's always three sides to a story. You know, my side, your side, the truth lies in the middle. But here's the thing. You can call the holiday Christian, but you got to understand the symbolism. The symbolism is from, something way beyond, way beyond what was Christianity. Easter, Easter and the Easter Bunny and that whole thing, the fertility and all that. Yeah, that had everything to do with something that was pagan and not Christian.
Right, but the Easter Bunny isn't a Christian story.
We know but this is what they're making it out to be.
But my point is neither is Ishtar, which was a fertility goddess. It had nothing to do with the resurrection or anything. It had to do they named it, and this was the genius of Constantine in taking over the church, because he could not understand why he couldn't kill off these Christians. These
right.
Christians weren't responding to him killing them off, and so he feigned this I've now arrived, and then came up with this lie that Peter was the first pope and created this system and of a papacy and all of this other stuff and priests that had to do intercession, when the Bible tells you clearly there's no intercessor but the man Christ Jesus.
Right. That's the practice of Catholicism, not necessarily the belief.
Like I said, we've made a change where the people today are being, I think, are very sincere in their Christian belief. Okay, so I don't question the people of today on that. I question the beginnings of Catholicism, which was not first century. It was not when they were stole Christianity away, because the first church was not. Wait a minute, the first church was not Peter's church. It was James's church.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do they make Peter the first pope and say he was celibate and didn't have anything when Peter had a mother-in-law, kids, everything? This is what I'm saying. When people create things on fairy tales, it makes other people not believe.
When they made Peter the first pope, what they were doing was referring to Christ's statement, upon this rock I will build my church.
What was the rock, sir, though? What was the rock?
The rock was Peter. Peter.
No, sir, it was not.
The name of Peter from, he was changed, his name was changed from Simon to Peter. Peter is the Greek for rock.
He changed Peter's name, and he responded to the statement that Peter made, not to Peter.
Who was he addressing?
He was addressing Peter when he said what he said, but he asked Peter.
I'm just trying to correct history. What you're doing is what the liberals and the atheists do, and you're just giving them ammunition.
Oh no!
Don't load their gun for them. Point it at your own heart. Just let them foul things up, and we can continue to learn the truth, the rest of the story, and the truth of history.
Let me clarify something. The conversation was, and 216, you'll be next. He said, "Who do men say that I am?"
Yes.
And they said, "Well, some say you're Elijah, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say you're another prophet." And so he turned to Peter and said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" He said, "Why, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said,
exactly.
"Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock shall I build my church." The revelation that Jesus was the Son of the Most High God and the Christ, not on Peter. It had nothing to do with Peter. In fact, the first church was by James. And that's what I'm saying. These are fairy tales that we learned that aren't true. And it makes people not believe.
Guys, hey, Jeff, can I talk?
216, go ahead.
Hold on,
774. I'm with you. I've still got you, though.
Thanks.
So 216, come on in.
Thanks. Thanks. Let me go back to the original point that you were arguing with Stanley. When the Muslim extremists kill people, they're doing it because it's in their doctrine to do it.
Absolutely.
When Christians kill people, it is wrong. It's not in our doctrine. So let's say Stanley's right about the Crusader. Let's just pretend they were all Christians and they went and killed people. We say that's wrong. That's the difference. The Muslims say it's okay to do that. We do not.
But the Muslims don't say it's okay. There's a lot of Muslims who say it is wrong to kill people also. There's a lot of Muslims who will tell you it's wrong for them to do that. So how could you say that? And there's a lot of Christians during that period that said that it was right to do what they did in the Crusade.
But it's not in our Bible. It's not in our Bible. It is wrong to do. It is written in the Bible.
Many things
no, it is not, Stanley. Stanley, it is not written in the Bible anything about the Crusades. Nothing. And that was incorrect.
Okay.
And it was a political thing, not a spiritual.
But in the Quran, it is okay to kill infidels. And any infidel is someone who's not Muslim.
Hold on, Stanley. The man's talking. 216, keep going.
Yeah, in the Quran, it states they are allowed to kill infidels. And anyone who's not a Muslim is an infidel. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Nowhere. We know it's wrong to kill.
Oh, boy. Okay, explain me that.
But Stanley,
you say that it's never written in the Bible something. Didn't Jesus say, I didn't come in this world to make peace. I came in this world to take out my sword and do something. Wasn't that written in the Bible?
Yeah, but what did that?
No, you're saying that it's never written in the Bible.
But that had nothing to do with using his sword.
Yes, it does a lot.
Oh, Stanley. See, you don't know the Bible, and I'm sorry. You can't understand it, because that's not what he was saying at all.
That's what a lot of people thought during that period.
They may say that, but it's not the truth, and it does not say that he did not tell his disciples, go out into the countryside and kill anybody that does not believe in me.
Exactly.
And the Muslims do. Okay? The radical Islam has an edict that says that if they do not bow their knee to Allah, then you can kill them.
And
you should kill them. And not only that, you will be rewarded in heaven for doing it.
Okay.
Why do you think these people put bombs on their body and blow themselves to bits?
The Bible that says what you want to say.
No, sir, that's not true, Stanley. Yeah.
I'm gonna have
to shut you back a little bit because you're talking noise. No, we don't make the Bible say what it says. We tell you what the Bible does say. And it doesn't matter. You don't believe in it, so it doesn't matter. So you might as well leave it alone, okay? Let us discuss that part of it, and then you come in with the liberal politics that you like. Okay? Because you can't get to this one, okay? The Bible does not tell Christians to kill anybody.
And let me also say the difference with Israel. Israel, they want to be left alone. They don't want to attack people and force people to be Jewish. Where the Muslim countries, they want to turn you Muslim. That is their goal. Where the Jewish people don't care. They want to be left alone. That's another big difference.
And what happens to a Muslim that changes his mind?
They're shunned. They're killed. Yeah. I'm married to a Turkish woman. I know a lot about this.
Right,
they're in big trouble if they denounce Islam.
If they denounce Islam, they are murdered. They were put to death because that is blasphemy in their belief. You don't know if in Islam under Sharia law, if you talking about having sex with girls, you let a daughter have sex with a man, especially if he's not a Muslim, he's an infidel. And they find out.
Oh yeah.
In the radical Muslims, they will put them to death.
Yeah, they will.
And that's happened
here in the United States. Now the man's allowed to. Now the Muslim man, is allowed to do whatever he wants. But
well,
the woman, they have
soul.
No rights. Yeah, women have no rights at all.
Right, they have no rights, and they don't even know whether the woman has a soul.
And that is in their Quran. That is in their holy book.
And you think that the holy book of the Bible, the New Testament, didn't have anything with that?
So let's
go to the Bible. Does not the Bible say slavery is okay? Okay, let's go to the Bible because you're so much pro there. Did Jesus say that he was against slavery? Yes or no?
He was against what?
Slavery.
Yeah.
No, he didn't have to.
He didn't say it. No, specifically, no.
No, for what? What did he say? Why would he say it say it?
So Jesus never talked about slavery, never said something about slavery? Never did?
No.
Okay, you say so.
It doesn't matter because...
Stanley,
you have to understand something.
Okay, so explain me... Okay, Jeff, you have the Bible. Explain me Luke 12:47-48.
It says what?
Jesus approved a beating of slavery. The servant will be severely punished for thought he knew his duty and refused to do it. But people who are not aware that they are doing wrong will be punished only lightly. Much is required for those who which much is given, and much is required for those who much to whom
and
much
Stanley,
is given.
Stanley, how did you acquire a slave in biblical time?
The slave in biblical time, that depends. There was two kinds of slaves. The slave that was basically, if you were Jewish, you would be a slave for 7 years, and then 7 years you would be free. If you were
that was the whole total. No, it didn't matter.
No, that was not the whole total. That was
yes.
only for Jewish, because I have the quote about that. That's in the Old Testament.
That was for Hebrews.
For Hebrews, 7 years, and if you were not Hebrews, you were a slave for the rest of your life.
No, sir.
Yes, it is. I have
no,
it.
No, sir.
Yes,
What scripture are you talking to?
Exodus 21:2-6.
Say that again.
Exodus.
Sorry, Exodus. 21. My goodness.
If you buy a Hebrew slave, he is to serve for only 6 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to stay on this all day, but we're going to work this one out. Go ahead, Stanley.
There's many things in the Bible.
Go with what you just said. Go with the Exodus. I want to hear it.
If you buy a Hebrew slave, he is to serve for only 6 years, sitting free in the 7 year, and he will be owned for nothing for his freedom. If he is single, when you become your slave, then marry afterward. Only he will be free in the 7 year. But if he is to marry, they explain basically that if you're a slave and he has with a wife,
mm-hmm.
slave, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Where's the guy that's dead for the rest of his life? Where's that at?
If you buy a Hebrew slave, do you see them saying
you can't buy a slave.
If you buy Hebrew slave,
you're not allowed to buy a slave.
So if you buy any kind of other slave, is he free after 6 years?
You didn't. Yes, every slave was because Stanley, biblical slavery was always a matter of you taking them on because of a debt that was not paid.
Okay.
And that's so, why. And then they were sent away. And there were some of them that didn't pay their debt off in 7 years. And they continued on, but the year of Jubilee, they got set free. So you don't know your word. And like I said, you can't understand it. So you got to leave it alone, Stanley.
Yeah, you say I don't know your word. I'm surprised that you don't know your word.
I know it quite well.
You're covering up things that apologists have a hard time answering. When we go back,
you don't know, because it's not there. You can't.
It is there.
We can't argue with you because you do not understand.
And you don't
believe.
It's like
arguing
with
a 2-year-old.
Tell me which point I don't understand. Did I not say that slavery had until 7 years to stay as a slave if you were Hebrew? Yes or no?
You sound like the Pharisee. That's the law. Maybe this isn't the word of God you're talking about. That's the word of man that they're talking about in that point.
True enough.
We can't argue with you. It's like arguing with a 2-year-old. We just can't do it. And it's not your fault. You're ignorant of the Bible.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, we just tried to tell you. I don't want to stay on this one point all day because that's not what we're doing.
I could change the subject.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, okay. And you're open. I got South Carolina on here too, and my other guy dropped out for a minute. I hope he'll call back. But the thing is we're trying to say this to you, Stanley. You hear a lot of politics from people that want to prove that Christians are stupid, one, ignorant, too, and then they just believe this fairy tales and, you know, they're worthless people. No, we know exactly what we believe and why. We know why we vote, why, how we vote, and why. We know what another Christian is and who is not, because you'll know them by certain things, the Bible says. By their fruits you shall know them.
Amen.
And when you got people killing people off, that's not a Christian. When you got people that are saying that certain, that God calls things wrong, and they're saying it's all right, that's not Christian. So now,
but
so,
Jeff, you're picking and choosing things.
I'm making my point.
Because okay, go ahead.
I'm only making my point, Stanley. I didn't take anything specifically. I just used those two particular things because those are easy fruit for us to see.
Okay. And
now,
go ahead and pick or choose your stuff. And I'm sorry.
No, we don't pick and choose. We're consistent throughout.
Okay, go ahead.
We're always consistent.
You don't want to hear the other point. You don't want to hear the other point. I'm sorry.
What other point?
Okay, the other point is, Jeff, you know that more and more people are not believing what you're saying.
I don't care. The Bible says that.
So when America's going to come to 60, 70, 80%, I'm not going to believe what you're saying. Keep on believing what you have to say.
We will. Stanley, we will. Because that's who we are. Okay, so here's the thing. The Bible says that in the end days, there's going to be a great falling away from the faith. So we expect it. We're not surprised, and God has not fallen off his throne. Oh, no. A whole lot of people don't believe in me now. No, he didn't fall. He didn't fall. He didn't fall off the throne. You have to understand that when those of us that believe like we believe, we know that we can believe this one to death, okay?
Okay.
We're not believing because it's popular or because we have a lot of people going along with us. You heard me argue points before and why I wasn't supporting candidates and things like that. It's because of my conviction as a Christian. It had nothing to do with whether the crowd goes along with something else. So I understand that about Christians. Real Christians are not going to go with the crowd. They're going to go with what is the conviction of the Holy Ghost and of the Scriptures.
But the question that you never answer, and I think all Christians don't answer, is what if you're wrong?
It doesn't. Well,
no,
you know
that's
what?
The question. That's the ultimate question. What? You want the ultimate question? That is the question. What if you're wrong? What if all the things you're wrong? You're wrong.
It,
what if you're wrong?
It wouldn't matter now, would it?
Oh, it doesn't matter. So finding out if it's true or not doesn't matter. Wow.
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
No, Stanley.
So we resolve the case.
Hey,
Jeff.
Right?
It doesn't matter.
Hey, Jeff. Ask Stanley this. Okay.
Go ahead,
Stanley. What if we're right?
Well,
that should be the question.
You're right.
What
if
we're
right?
For
you, I've told you that. I've said that, South Carolina. If you're right, I'll be the first to say you were right. But I'm asking you.
But no, Stanley, here's the problem. If we're right, you're going to be in deep doo-doo.
No, I'm not going to be in deep doo-doo. I'm not going to be in deep doo-doo at all. I'm not scared of dying. I'm not going to be in deep doo-doo
No, we're talking about after you die.
I'm not scared of
and you find out that...
I'm not scared of after
Hey, you get out there and you find out that me and Tracy and 216 and South Carolina were right, you're going to say, oh, my God. And he's going to say, that's right.
That's the Pascal wager. That's what we call. That's the famous thing that's the Pascal wager, what you're going to. So you don't want to see, I told South Carolina, if I'm wrong, and if there is a God and I do confront him and he says he's going to judge me, he says, why didn't you believe? I'll tell him why I
pray that by this holiday season, whether it is the birth of it is or not, that Jesus really reveals himself to you so that you can understand what we're saying. Because once you've met him, Stanley, you don't turn away from it.
Okay,
if you really met him, wait a minute. You listen to me for a second, then you go on and say what you want to. When you've met him and he's touched you and you've had an encounter with him, there is nothing that's going to change your mind. You ain't going to change my mind with nothing because I have personally experienced him.
Mm-hmm.
whether I do everything right or anything right again, it doesn't matter. It's about what happened to me.
Okay.
Okay, I had a personal encounter with God, and there is nothing that you're going to do or say because you ain't giving me nothing. You know what I'm saying?
You just said. Can I respond to what you just said? There's been a lot of pastors that said the same thing that you said. I'm never going to change my mind. They used to be pastors. They're not anymore. They used to
I don't know why.
Have the same faith. It's a relationship with Jesus. That's
yes.
what taught me. And then they said it was not true. So,
well, you know what?
I know many pastors who said, I used to be a pastor. I used to believe the Bible. And
Okay, Stanley, thank you. Thank you. And we'll go on with that because you know what? I feel sorry for them because the Bible says once you've tasted of the heavenly gift, and if you should turn again unto unbelief, there is no place of repentance for you. So I really feel bad for those people that they let somebody tell them something crazy
they
that didn't match up.
Something? Whoa, they didn't let somebody tell them something. They made the choice of finding out the truth for themselves. They didn't let somebody tell them
Let
something.
Them do it then. Stanley, I'm not arguing with that. That's their prerogative.
Yes, but
God made us. Okay.
You just said 2 minutes ago and say, if you have that relationship with Jesus,
Doc,
you will never change your mind. Yes, you
Doc,
will.
Doc, oh no, I will not change my mind.
Won't. You won't.
No, you're right. You're right, because you know what? Like I said. Okay, thank you, Stanley. 412, you are in the air. 216, you're still open if you want to say something else, too. Stanley,
hey,
just
Jeff.
Hold. Yes.
Hey,
412.
I got a question.
Oh, wait a minute, Alex. Let South was here first. I'm sorry. Go ahead, South.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I got a question. And Alex, you're there. You can chime in on this. They revealed a plan that the administration wants to present the next 2 years, and it's $1.6 trillion in tax increases,
right?
$400 billion in cuts to Medicare, okay, and some other things. So he wants to from now you guys can clarify this for me. So he wants to tax the rich, and he wants to cut benefits further from the elderly, because that's who's getting Medicare.
He wants them to die off, tell you the truth, because that's the belief of the progressive. But
No, you can't pull that. Grayson tried that. He got – oh, no, you're not in the office. You can say all you want.
Yeah, I can say it. Understand something. The progressives of the world support abortion and all these other things that call birth because they have a belief that there's too many people on the face of the earth. And they also have a belief that God is not able to take care of these people. And I'm of the thing that tells them, hey, the United States alone fed the world for many, many years. And we taught others how to feed themselves because the blessing of the Lord that was on this country because of what we took on and was a propagator of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the faith in God that came out of this country. Now, it is waning, there's no doubt. There's a lot of people that are not believing in these days, and primarily because, like I said, they are told fairy tales. And when they find out that the fairy tale part of the their belief is not true, they reject the whole thing. And it's a bad situation. That's why I'm a person that wants to destroy every bit of fairy tale that is being told.
So now let me get this straight, Jeff. So you think, and I don't believe the Republicans are going to accept this plan. I think the president thinks that he's going to have them bended knee accepting it, but I don't think they're going to accept it. So now, what happens when we go off the proverbial cliff?
We're not going to go.
And taxes skyrocket for folks.
What
and they start losing $2,500 a year out of their check.
South Carolina, what makes you think that the president won't do everything in his power to not go there? He said it to many things. He said, the first thing I want to do is resolve this. And Republican and Democrats are going to have to sit down and give and take what they want.
No, but look what he offered, Stanley.
Yeah,
Stanley.
He's offering what he believes. He's offering what he believes. He's not going to offer something that Republican wants. He offered what he believes. And he's going to sit down with Republicans and say, this is what I want. And the Republicans say, this is what we want. Okay, we're going to find a middle ground.
No. He doesn't want a middle ground.
Yes, he does.
He said he didn't want nothing.
Yes,
he said, this is all I'm going
to do. Yes, he does.
Okay, Stanley. South, it's going to be crazy. But 412, go ahead and kick in as soon as Stanley finishes having a fit there.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing today?
Good, my friend.
I was listening to you guys, and you probably don't want to go back into that, but
do what you want to do. It's Friday.
Well, I think that my honest feeling assessment is that you kind of do a disservice to Christianity, and it's not just you, but Christians tend to do it in general. Like what Stanley touched on it about the picking and choosing thing, because the thing about it is that people. The same reasons that you can look at Islam or even Judaism as not the true religion, people can find the same reasons, the same inconsistencies in Christianity. It's just like, Christians try to be revisionist and saying that, they worship the same God as the Jews, but, you Jews, you guys are wrong. But then you're saying that, but then you don't want to follow those laws that were written down in the Old Testament because that's where the
you're not
the
under the law in the New Testament because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So I
understand that. But the law is clear that it's binding and it's going to be there forever, even Jesus.
Absolutely.
The law was there to show you what you're doing wrong, to show you that you need a Savior. The law wasn't there to be followed. It's to show you that you need a Savior.
The law reveals your need. I understand the Christian rationale for it, but if you debate that with a Jew, it'll be funny.
It doesn't matter because the Bible says that they're blinded in part till the fullness of the Gentiles come in.
Okay. But the thing about it though is that if these were laws that God put forth, then what you're essentially saying is that God changes his mind.
Stop right there.
Nope.
Okay.
The law. What? Jesus came to what? To do away with the law? He said no. I came to fulfill the law.
Yeah, he said to
so
fulfill.
Therefore,
but in that same
listen,
utterance,
listen.
He said, that not one jot or tittle will pass
from
the
law.
Will
pass away. Okay, so if he fulfilled it, he's the only human being that fulfilled it. Do you not understand the law of propitiation, which is what I'll say it like this. By one man, sin came into the world. By one man, sin was dealt with. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. So the only thing that you need to fulfill the law is to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Believe that his blood, believe that his blood paid for your sins. And you are born again. That is the key.
Jeff.
That's absolutely true. Oh, boy.
Jeff.
Oh, my God.
Jeff, look, I understand that. That's Christian teaching. I understand that. But
that's not true.
That's the whole faith.
That's not true, Jeff.
Hold on.
At all.
Hold on. Jeff, look, the Old Testament.
Come on.
And the reason why Jews don't believe in Jesus is because all the prophecies were not fulfilled. And so, it's very clear that, the Messiah, don't believe that such and such is the actual Messiah until all of these prophecies were fulfilled, and they have not been fulfilled.
No.
So, and therefore,
wait a minute. You're saying
not,
all.
They,
you're
hold
saying
on, let me
all.
Finish.
Yeah, but you said
since
all.
They since they have not, all the prophecies that were supposed to be fulfilled for the coming of a Messiah, those prophecies, they have not been fulfilled. And so it specifically says, you're supposed to be steadfast in the law until that happens.
No, sir. Not at all.
I thought they all were fulfilled.
Go ahead, my friend. 216, was that you?
Yeah, I thought they were fulfilled.
They weren't.
No, they weren't.
All the prophecies. Well, see, here's the thing.
Which one wasn't?
Yeah.
I'm not arguing with you.
I want to learn from you. Which one was? I always thought they were all fulfilled.
No, there's five major ones that if you talk to Jewish rabbis, they'll point out. But for instance, all the Jews are supposed to return back to land. Israel is one. The temple is supposed to be built. The entire world is supposed to become under the banner of one God. And there's a couple other ones I can't remember off the top of my head. But let me ask Alex.
Alex, are you talking about Old Testament prophecy, or are you talking about...
Yeah.
That's not like the second coming.
Yes. Yeah. I'm talking about the first coming. The reason why Jews do not believe in Jesus, because those prophecies were never fulfilled. And so, therefore, it invalidated him as being the Messiah in their eyes.
The problem with explaining this, and we've gotten off way on the side of religion today, but explaining this is this. In biblical prophecy, you have a thing that allowed Jesus to come for the first time and finish the work, and when he comes back again as the conquering king is what they were looking for.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Right.
Hold on. You've got to understand that they're looking for him to restore Israel back at that time.
Right. There's nothing in the Bible that says that there's supposed to be two comings. It doesn't matter whether it says it or not. It doesn't say that. Afterwards a Christian revisionism.
Hold on, Stanley. You can't just jump in there. Go ahead, Alex.
I'm just saying it doesn't say that there's supposed to be two comings.
Alex, I got a question for him. Then who's Jesus if he's not the Savior, if he's not Lord? If he's not the Lord, then if he came to earth, he must be a liar.
I'm not gonna say what he is or isn't, because there's multiple. In the context, you gotta say who he is.
Because you're definitely telling me who he's not.
Because the reason why I'm not going to go there is because there are different sects, they call themselves Christians, whatever, that say that Jesus isn't God, but he was just a prophet, or he was, you know, there's all kinds of ideas.
There's Christians that say that. That's Islam that says that.
I'm saying that there's even Christian groups that, you know, in the Middle East that were around before, any of your Protestant groups were around, will say that, no, Jesus isn't actually God, you know. All I'm saying is that what your line of thinking isn't resolved, is all I'm saying. There's a lot of inconsistencies and conflicts with the Old Testament with your line of thinking. That's all I'm saying.
According to whom?
And still, I just want my question answered. You know, if Jesus isn't who Jesus said he was, then who is he? Is he Lord? Is he a liar? Or is he crazy?
Who did he say he was?
He told you who he said he was. He was God in the flesh. He told you, I'm the Son of the Living God. You have to understand.
But listen, Alex.
No. You don't have to believe this story, okay? You do not have to. But the most functional and the only book of prophecy that has ever come true to any degree is the Bible. And absolutely.
No, that's not true.
Then tell me what happened. Wait a minute. You're going to say no? Then bring me something else.
I can tell. Have you read any of the Vedic books in Indian culture?
The Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh huh. I sure have.
So, have you? I mean, there's there's writings all over the world
yes.
that's come true.
Oh, tell me which ones did.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. Now I'm going to tell you, this is where you know Tracy doesn't usually want us to go, and we're going there, and it's okay. I wish Stanley had stayed on, but that's okay. But the thing is you have to understand that there are a lot of supernatural things that happened and are happening in the earth that people put their heads in the ground and ignore. And these books of these beings and people that they write about are absolutely real. They're real. They're real people. They don't forget that the Bhagavad Gita people, they had the people that we see as when we see flying saucers, they had pictures of them and the inhabitants.
And they're
true to the day of the people that people say they see these things. So what are you telling me?
My only point is that every group of people will make the same claims that Christians do. That our prophecies came true. That's all.
Well,
and even if you go down to Mexico into rural areas of Mexico, the Mayans will tell you the same thing.
Absolutely, and they're correct because of those beings that came in contact with them.
I'm not talking about any aliens or any of that nonsense.
Alex, what about the giants? And Jeff can tell you about the giants, okay? There were giants in the land. Where did the giants come from? And they were spoken about in the Bible.
Yeah, but it's spoken about in Egypt, too.
Because they were there. Okay, so now, who are they?
Why couldn't they just be humans?
Because you don't have giants now. Understand something. God said they were created, and that's why he sent the children of Israel into the lands to destroy them. Because they corrupted the bloodline. Those are the things that we don't want to accept. That is a biblical fact.
It's a fact. It doesn't mean it's truth.
It's true because we have the evidence of it. We have skeletons that are up to 36 and 39 feet tall.
Yeah, there's evidence of giants, but there's no evidence that what you wrote down is their origin is true. I mean, there's a lot of things that people say that's true.
But here's my point. If God said that the angels that went in rebellion in heaven were cast down... cutting across me. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got that noise running? Somebody's got air running. Please roll up your window or something. How are you going to ignore that the Bible tells you about these people, yet nobody else is telling you who they are? But the Bhagavad Gita and the people in the Mayans all tell you one thing in common. All of the things that they believe in came down to them from the sky.
But
I'm telling you, is that true or not?
But they didn't tell you that those people that came from the sky were giants.
No, they weren't. No, that's not who the giants are. The giants were created right here on Earth.
Right.
But their progenitors came down from the sky.
Look, Jeff.
Yeah.
See, they did. Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying, but... You're going to refer back to Old Testament to validate your arguments, but then
I'm going to use modern day science as well.
But the thing is, you want to dismiss the Old Testament when it comes to greater theological matters, which is why people just dismiss Christianity altogether.
No, I disagree with anything that you got from the Catholic Church. Okay. Because it's not real. I hate to tell you that, and hate to say that to many Catholics, because they withheld evidence They withheld information from you that you can't possibly know because they keep it. unless you read original text. But see, I don't want to get into this because this is too hard. No, I don't dismiss anything except church historical doctrine.
You dismiss the Old Testament when it comes to the qualifications of a Messiah. You definitely
no, I do not. I absolutely
yes,
agree. No, I don't. Because
okay.
All he had to be for him to pay for my sins was fulfilled when he comes back the second time.
No.
And Revelation. Whoa. Let's see.
What are the requirements of them?
Well, we can't go into that here, Alex. Come on. Now, you got to know this is radio.
They're very simple.
They're not all simple, but he fulfilled all of them that required him to do what he had to do.
No.
Every last one of them.
have that argument with the Jew. That's all I'm going to say.
I've had it with a Jew very much, and I've had it with completed
yeah.
Jews, and they agree. Yes, 334, go ahead.
Hey, I disagree with Alex, just like you as a Christian myself. But and the thing is this, I mean, we ought to know our Bible, and I'm not saying you don't. But when he asked that question, what are the qualifications? Isaiah 9, a child is born from the city of Bethlehem. Talks about all that, the bones not being broken, all of that stuff. But not only that.
When God sent them down to Egypt because the Pharaoh was going to kill them, and it says, from out of Egypt have I called my son.
Let me make a point. The point I'm saying is this. Alex obviously does not believe, and I feel as though sometimes we can talk to a person, but I feel like, and it's just me, it's an analogy a guy told me one time, if a guy's lying dead on the floor, and this is a crazy analogy, but it makes a lot of sense. And someone comes and places a pill in your mouth to make you become living, right? That pill is the faith. And if you don't have that, and I'm not trying to belittle you, Alex, because you just don't believe, and that's cool, but there's no other way for me to look at it, but that if someone places that pill in that person's mouth, that person becomes living. Unless that pill has been given, he's not going to believe. So I can tell him this. If he don't want to believe, I think it's best we just move on to another subject because he's not – he just doesn't. And I'm not trying to say – he just don't believe just like science tells us. Science is based off faith, whether we want to admit it or not. Science is faith. You would not sit in a chair if you read a quantum physics book. If you believe quantum physics, you say, well, how can I sit in a chair if the laws of physics don't work on certain – you know, but we just trust because we've tested it. And you've tested that faith. I've tested it. And unless a person tastes and sees for themselves, there's no way I'm going to be able to. And I'm not calling you a swine or anything, but there's a verse. You cast your pearls before a swine trying to debate and argue with somebody. I wouldn't even do that. I would, if I feel like God's leading him to that point where he wants to really try to find out, then I would share. But I did a lot of this in college. And it's just,
I went way too far on the point because I know that when they make these claims that they bring up, you know, all of these things that they're saying are not a certain way. And the thing is it doesn't matter that you want to bring up controversy. I can prove to you, but it takes time if you want to sit down and go through it.
He believes what the Jewish people have told. The Jewish person, I guess talked to one of them. They told him a certain thing, and so he believes that without having said it for himself. But I guess they told him. He said, well, he's not, but if you can't regurgitate, like if I talk about the Islamic faith, I can actually tell you why I disagree. But if you don't, I'm not knocking because, look, we can't study everything. So that thing that I may speak on sometimes that I can't tell you per se, but I think that's the thing. Until he gets to that point where he feels like he's really wanting to know for himself and seek out. Because I had a guy that would argue me down. Now he's a Christian. But that's something God has to do. I can't do it. And we can't just trick this.
That's true.
Smart. Alex is a very smart and intelligent guy. There's no way I feel like I can wrestle you down and make you believe. You're not going to do that.
But here's the thing. Don't assume what I have or haven't studied, because I've studied the Bible for years since I was a child, and I grew up in the church. So don't assume what I know.
Yes,
that is what you
said.
No,
You said I need to come to a place where, you know, I've actually looked into these things and whatever. You know, all I'm saying, I'm not trying to impress any kind of belief on you guys or anything. My only point was that what you believe isn't necessarily necessarily
Whoa.
Because there's different denominations of Christianity that believe conflicting things with what you believe. That was my only point.
Once again, Alex, hold on. We can't go on with this. We gotta cut it off. I hear what you're saying, but if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, they're not Christians. Plain and simple. If they think he's an angel, they're not Christians.
But that's the
if they
problem.
Think he's,
but
well,
you
it's not a problem.
You choose who's a Christian and when they're not.
I
when
ain't
they
picking
don't,
and choosing nothing.
Yeah,
God
you
is
are.
Gonna. No, I'm not
you're
picking and choosing
who you want to be.
Listen,
a Christian. Oh,
my
Catholics
man,
aren't Christians and all these.
I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you that either. I told you once again. The Catholicism system was a pagan system, not a Christian system. The people that are in it, it was
not. There's
not
a single trace. Can you tell me anything in the Christian religion that was not here in the Egyptian religion or Mithraism before it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Give me one example.
And after we're going to take this these last 2 minutes, okay? We're going to take these last 2 minutes to the top of the hour of the news, and then we're going to come back with something else. Your phone was making too much noise, Doc. I had to mute you. But my point is this: you're dealing with this thing a certain way. I don't care what other Christian people to call themselves Christians say. I know what the book says, and the book says that who Jesus was the revelation that Peter came up with that says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." If you don't believe that, or if it doesn't say sun kiss, ain't nothing happening. Gotta go. Be back on the other side. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind and blah, blah, blah. Local caller, hold on. We'll be back.
Alex, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Before, I saw a zeitgeist thing with that, there was a guy, and I can bring you his name tomorrow, that lived in the 1800s who was a guy that wrote a lot of that stuff that Bill Maher used in his movie. But a lot of that has been.
You're talking about Gerald Massey. You're talking about Gerald.
Yeah, I can look a lot of that stuff up, but a lot of there's other people that have been using those guys. But a lot of that stuff does not predate the Christian faith being founded. Not only that, but when you start talking about mythicism, if you could trace, there are examples of it, but it's after, like, one guy, what is it? One of those gods, I can't remember his name, Attis, A-T-T-I-S. There were different pictures of, like, the things that, and a lot of times, that's something, that stuff has been refuted, and I've heard it before. But when I first heard it, I was like, really? So I went and looked it up. But I mean, my thing is, look, man, I didn't mean to say that you speaking on something you don't know what you're talking about. I'm sure you are right. There are some Greeks. I mean, the Greeks. There are some Jewish people that do believe like you're saying. What I'm saying is that,
and I'm saying
I
people
can't
even call themselves Christians because they were.
Yeah, you're right. But see, let me tell you, there's a parable Jesus told about separating the wheat from the chaff. And so God is going to separate and make those decisions. I can't per se do it myself, but I do know that there are certain tenets of the faith that if you're sitting out here talking about you want to be an openly unrepentant homosexual and call yourself a Christian, I think it's clear that what the Bible says about that. That's all I'm saying. I think we can make that judgment call. If I come steal your stuff, Alex, and call myself a Christian and I'm unrepentant about it, then I'm wrong. And you can sit out here and say Bill's a hypocrite, and you're right to judge because you have something to look and judge me by. And the Bible says we shall not judge one another in the church. We can look and make a decision about a particular issue, but when it comes to Catholics, for example, when it comes to Jehovah's Witnesses, I've met and discussed Jesus with Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses. I ain't nowhere in the world I'm finna sit up here and say all Catholics going to hell. All Jehovah's, I wouldn't do that. That's foolish. Because
no,
now you're getting into what's in a person's heart. And I don't think that's what Jeff was trying to do. I think Jeff was just saying basic, the basics of it. But I've talked to some Catholics that are serious about Jesus. They believe he's God, and they worship Jesus just the way I do. There are some different idiosyncrasies, but on the main scheme, they do believe that. But I don't, like I said, I wasn't trying to insult you or take it like, well, man, Alex don't know what he's talking. I'm saying Alex is a smart dude. I ain't finna coerce Alex. I wouldn't even try to talk to you like that. I'm not saying Jeff did. I think it just kind of meandered into that. But
I'm
would,
trying to run a show. It's kind of hard. I can't go and exegete every one of these points that you're bringing up here. But, you know, believe you me that I can destroy anything that you say concerning it, because I'm one of these people that I ain't going to believe stuff. I don't believe nothing unless you prove it to me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I met God, I met God personally. It just bowled me over. And so, you know, I ain't trying to be the other kind of way with it, except that that's okay. But then I went to, as the Bible says, study to show thyself approved a workman, not needing to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't discount anything in the Old Testament, but I know one thing, that the Old Testament has been fulfilled through Christ.
Well, but let me ask you a question, Jeff.
Yeah.
And Alex, this is the thing that gets me. If I live my life as a Christian and raise my family as a man of God and teach my kids to honor God in their lives and things like that,
right.
I'm going to be an upstanding member of society. I'm going to be a good husband, wife, father, co-worker. I'm going to treat you right. I'm not going to. Why is it that people hate and attack us? And I'm just saying. I feel like sometimes people don't really stop and think, well, why are you attacking us? We're not the ones right here saying we want Sharia law and want to make you live a certain way. If you want to live like you live, fine, but you can't make me vote a certain way, or you can't make me do that. I'm not out here. I'll never come to Alex or anybody that doesn't believe in our faith and say, man, you got to live this way. We need to put you in jail, or you do what you want to do. But I think I would think if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't mind working with devout, real, true people that are serious about their faith. I wouldn't bother, and I know a lot of people like that. You're only going to see the bad ones on the news. But the people that are serious, nobody's blasting that across the airwaves. There's nothing to brag on. People think that's nothing. But when you stuff your toe like an Eddie Long guy, for example, they use him to make and wipe and make all us seem to be like him, and we're not.
Well, here's the thing. I got to get back on here in a minute. I'm going you guys will be open, and I want to talk about some other things, because I don't want to lose the audience. But, you know, like I said, Alex, I understand that there are others that don't believe and they believe different things. The Bible said it was going to be that way and said why it was going to be that way. But the thing is if you dig and if you really look to find out, you will find the truth in here.
But that's the problem.
The Bible
you think you know better than everybody else. And
no,
listen,
there
are so many scholars,
that.
Biblical scholars, that think differently.
What?
That's all I'm saying.
Scholars, Alex. That's my point.
Any Jewish rabbi would disagree with your interpretation
of
the Bible.
No,
for
they
one.
But
hold
on.
Disagree because I've taught the Jewish rabbis all the time.
No, you didn't go to them with that nonsense. That Jesus fulfilled.
I don't go to
anything.
Them with any nonsense. I go and talk to them and ask
not
them
the,
about what they believe. Alex, I'm not stupid. Okay, I'm very, very much in the community and in all communities for a number of different reasons.
But what person? Hold on,
like
Jeff.
This.
What? Jeff, what person is in a faith and not, in order to have any faith in anything, you have to close your mind to the opposition of it, or you won't have any faith in anything. Even in science, if you're an atheist, you have a faith. Because I don't care what you say, you got faith in that whole dogma. You have it. You can't believe anything without faith. So it's like, yeah, those people do exist, so I can't convince them. I've been in thousands of debates. Some of them heated. I have. In my younger days, I've gotten some real serious debates with people. And it taught me a lesson. It taught me that,
Well, man, I got to get the show started. I'll talk to you guys on the other side.
But, yeah, I just think it's futile for me to try to, or any believer, to try to go out here. And I think it's okay if you sincerely want to know, but.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to try to make you feel like, you know, it's going to seem close-minded, but every faith is.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. I'm just, it just bothers me to write the people off just because they're not convinced by what you think.
Yeah, I'm
well,
not
right now, afternoon with Tracy and Friends. It is 5 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock, and the Tracy and Friends Bible Hour is going to be over for now. So we're going to keep things going, and we're going to talk about what's on your mind. And I do have a caller on the air right now. Local caller, you're on the air. Talk to me.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
As you know, Jeff, the one religious group that I always...
Whatever, go ahead.
Come on now, Jeff.
Just say what you want
to
say.
I mean, you were referring to people like Jehovah's Witnesses. They acknowledge Jesus, and that's found in the book of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
As being Michael. And they refer to him as being an archangel.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael... to them, that, yep, that is Jesus, who is referring to, he was an archangel.
Okay.
In other words, yes, they recognize, yes, to them, God created Jesus. And so they do not believe in the Trinity as being a part of the Word of God.
Okay. Now, I'm going to finish this once and for all for you, okay? They can believe, listen, it's their prerogative to believe what they want to believe, okay?
No, it has nothing to do with Jehovah's Witnesses as a religious group as a whole.
Who told them that Jesus...
Remember...
Who told the Jehovah's Witnesses that Jesus was an angel?
Well,
that's all I got to ask you.
They don't believe in...
I said, who told them that?
The body of others.
No, the founders of the Jehovah's Witnesses told them that.
Right.
Justin, and guess
I mean,
what? It is a heresy. It is not the truth. I don't care about Charles K. Ruffel believing in anything. I don't care about nobody else believing in anything. But what the... okay, see you later, Steve.
No, I'm just trying to explain.
There's nothing to explain because I'm not buying it, and I'm out.
Why they accept the Trinity?
I don't care that. I don't care nothing about accepting the Trinity. I'm accepting. All I said is who Jesus was. If you don't believe that he's the Son of God, then ain't nothing happening.
That's
all I'm saying.
But Jeff.
Well, he can't be the Son of God and be created.
Jeff.
See you, Steve. 818, you are on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen. You guys are so much fun. I'm gonna save my brother who's running the show today. I got a new subject. Because I know this subject keeps going on. It comes
bring it up,
faith.
Sis, please.
That's it. But let's change the subject. I want to talk about marijuana. There's one for you. because all y'all, I mean, some of y'all need a weed. I won't say who, but, you know, those who don't believe, don't believe. Maybe you'll see it another way. Smoke some, it might help to see them. Okay, new subject. This is my issue. The black communities, urban black communities, by the way, my name is Shirley Hussar. I write for the Communities Washington Times. Out of Washington, D.C., and I am out of Los Angeles, California. H-E-S-T-R.
Yeah, you called the other day and shook it up.
Yeah, I shook it up. Let's shook it up some more. I'm talking about some weed. Let's smoke some weed right now.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Colorado and a couple other states have now become legalized in marijuana. What I find interesting that they did not talk about is how for a couple of years now, marijuana has been very infiltrated into the urban communities, not the nicer neighborhoods. Like if you're in L.A. and you get out to the more prestigious, more community, more city-involved areas. They don't have, like, marijuana. They may not even have Walmart. But
right.
In the urban communities, they have marijuana. Now, people like to justify their weed smoking and their lifestyle. But is this another way of the new liquor store? You remember when we were kids, there was a liquor
Absolutely.
Store on every corner. Now you got the new, I need some marijuana to help me because I'm broke in this economy and this president is driving me nuts. So I have a question, and my question is, the legalized marijuana, how is that going to now, and as it starts to filtrating and growing certain things, how is that going to affect our country? And why is the black community not talking about how it's not good to have these legalized shops in the black community?
Well, let me put this to you like this. The black community has been forced to sleep, and they are sleeping, and this is why they're sleeping, and they're sleeping because they have bought into a political discourse that tells them that, they should listen to whatever the left side says, because the left side is on your side, and the left side is for the middle class. And now the left side says that the new civil rights is homosexual rights instead of your kids, your black kids in your black community getting an education. Homosexual rights is your, is your situation here.
Yeah, but the left side also has had it so that it's not left or right. They were right people. They mean the Republican side or Libertarians or Independents.
Sure.
Who voted for this to be legalized. So this is a state law now.
No doubt. Here's the thing.
There's no doubt. I believe they're going to go into the urban communities first. And really try to force the fact that, and this is recreational weed. I ain't talking about medical weed. These laws that passed said this is for recreational use. Y'all can be driving and smoking and puffing at the same time.
Absolutely. And they're doing this, and they're going to get another tax base off of it, those that want taxes raised. So understand who's doing it, first of all. You have to understand that. Who's doing this, and why are they doing it? And the thing is, they're doing it because, first of all, the black community is the underground community, monetary system of America. All the black market money runs through the black community. Think about it. Think about it. Where's your crack cocaine going?
Not just that, you got the Mexican drug cartels, you got the Italian mafia, triads. I mean,
and where are they
of...
going? Where are they getting their money at? Who's sitting on the doggone street with their hands in their pocket and some baggy jeans with rocks in their pocket? It ain't white folks.
Mexicans do it too, though. They in jail just like we are.
That's the same thing. What are you talking about? It's the same. Okay, let me say the poor communities. Let me put it that way. I'm not excluding that.
Well, let me ask you, Jeff, I bet you won't see that in Chinatown. Let me ask you this though, Jeff. Like, if you look at drugs like weed, for example, look, I'm all for a person you want to drink recreationally. Even if I'm not a libertarian, but when it comes to getting high, if you go to Jamaica, do whatever. But the problem I have with us as blacks getting high is melanin has an effect on marijuana where it stays in your system longer than it stays in a Caucasian person. Also, this has been proven. Also, I struggle with us as a people using mind altering drugs when we are by far behind in every area. Yet I play ball with a lot of people that smoke weed. I mean, you go to any college. You know, black athletes, they get high. That's what they do, right? Especially the good athletes that coach love, they can get high and fail a drug test. No big deal.
So what you're saying is that the darker your skin, because you need to clarify that. You're talking about melanin. The melanin is the complexity, the texture, the color in your skin, so that your doctors get it. You're saying the darker you are, the more chocolate you got in it, the more burnt fried chicken you look like, the more weed you're going to carry in your skin. Is that what you're
saying? No. The longer it lingers in your system.
Right, longer it stays in your system. It stays in your system longer with more melon. That's interesting. I've never heard that.
Yeah, but the main point I was trying to make was that, and this is just from my own personal, I think marijuana makes you lazy. I do. I have people that will sit around. It's a lot of weed heads. You got a lot of girls now that will sleep with the weed. Man, it just makes you. There are a lot of people in our community that aren't as motivated. All they want to do is get their next sack and get high. And I think that there's an addiction to it. It's not like nicotine per se, where you got to have it every 20 minutes.
But you got those people. I know people that they can't go a day without smoking a joint. And that, a lot of us in the community have been stagnated because we have to sit around waiting to get. And I hate that. I think we lost. A lot of us are lazy. Like what 269 said, a lot of us have gotten like that. Marijuana has a lot to do with that. I think a lot of, I know athletes that wouldn't go to class. They want to wake up, get high. Go to practice, come out of practice, get high. Sitting around, listening to music. Lips black. You go on an interview. You can tell that people smoke so bad to where their lips are purple. I don't want to hide. Their teeth are dark. I don't even see why, as a person who's already, and I'm being honest, you're already black, you're in America, you got all types of things you have to work hard to overcome, and you want to go out and smoke weed till your lips are purple and your fingernails. And I'm telling you, that,
very, very
that
interesting.
Whole thing, and so they made that legal.
Yeah.
You know how many black folks that if it was legal, you know, black folks, we'll take it to the extreme. Like, when you start telling, do it in Alabama or anywhere in these states, tell black folks they can get high. They'll be out there at the game, they're going to be everywhere getting high. And they gonna get, and they gonna love it.
Black people ain't the only one that smoke weed, so you can't, you know.
I ain't saying they not.
Black,
I ain't
black.
Saying they not, but I'm just telling you, we had a disadvantage.
That are not black.
So we're the most disadvantaged.
Okay, hold on. Let's get.
Most black people that are under stress smoke weed. Let me ask you this, my brother. Let me ask you this directly. Let's keep it real, keep it 100. If the most stressed black people smoke weed, would you say the president smoking weed when you look at his purple lips?
I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'm
Alabama,
a little bit
hold on. Alabama, you around some machinery or something?
No, I'm just outside. But the thing is, I'm going to walk over here by the steps. The thing with President Obama admitted in his own book, he smoked all types of drugs. And there are people saying he snorts cane now. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised his lips purple. I mean, but
no.
I'm just telling you, I know people I went to school with that were lips same color as mine. Their lips are like the street right now, and you see them, you can just tell, man, he's always getting high. And then a lot of times people that smoke weed, it's nothing for you to go from weed to snorting to crack. I mean, it's nothing. And it's a gateway.
That depends, man.
That's the point I'm saying. You start legalizing one drug that is addicting, and then people said, no, marijuana is not addicting. That's the case, like you said, it makes people lazy, makes them sluggish, and then they want more. If that's not addicting, I don't know what an addiction is.
Well, see, that's the thing. All they got to do is some study saying it's not true. I mean, you got people that are professionals that smoke that are addicted, but because they got a job and they got, it's not like crack. I mean, you
it's
can't, it's not like, well, I got to have
that's
a hit.
That's how I look at it. It's a manageable addiction.
Well, and man, I'm going to have to mute you for a few minutes because that's making a lot of noise on my
I got off around that stuff, and I'm way up here now.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Alex.
You know, I hear what everybody's saying, but...
You'll be next, Adam.
I just have to say, so what? I mean, we should not be getting in the habit of legislating people's behavior and their personal habits.
If two states have made it law, how can you say so what? I'm walking down the street and you smoking weed. I don't want to smell you. You say so what? I'm driving on the freeway with my children and you smoking weed, singing ganja songs, and you say so what? How can you say so what and not be responsible for the actions of others when it's become law?
Not just that. I was in traffic the other day with two little weed head guys with a baby in the back seat getting hot. And I mean, what about that?
But see, then let the states regulate it and write their own laws. I mean, there's already laws against, you know, you can't expose children to cigarettes and alcohol. And the states will do their job with marijuana as well. But
yeah, right.
What do you mean you're right?
I say yeah, right.
All they're gonna do
is
alcohol isn't regulated well. Isn't regulated by the states?
I'm telling you, it's not regulated well by the state at all. And I'll tell
with
you
alcohol?
This: yes, alcohol, because you can
alcohol,
get.
I agree.
It's not regulated because you have a lot of young people drinking alcohol, smoking marijuana, and confession from your radio host here. When I was in high school, guess what? Alcohol and marijuana, whenever we wanted to, on lunch break. It was there. It was around. And this is in the 70s. Do you understand what they're doing to you?
It's a waste of money. It's a waste of resources to be spending money on trying to legislate and enforce these laws and all that. It's just a complete waste of time and money.
I agree with you because people are going to do what they want to do, but here's the point.
Exactly.
Why legislate it? They're legislating it so that they can go and get the tax base off of it. That's what this is for. It has nothing to do with whether they think it's a deadly substance or not.
Decriminalize it all across the board.
That's what they're going to do. Now, once they do that, who is it going to hurt the most?
I don't think it matters.
It does matter because you just won an election off of the people it's going to hurt the most.
I don't really buy that argument. I mean,
you don't have to buy that argument. The people that vote without thinking are the ones that are going to have the marijuana stores and they have the liquor stores in their neighborhoods now.
Yeah, but statistics doesn't even back up that assertion, though, because
You show me a statistic that does not say that most of the liquor stores are not in black poor neighborhoods or Hispanic poor neighborhoods. You tell me that. You show me that statistic. I'm sitting up here in Youngstown right now with liquor stores all over the place, and not only that, guess what else? You got a pornographic store sitting one block away from a grade school.
Preach.
Yeah, right.
Don't bring that to me. See, because the statistics say, and the people that are dying out there say, I can go right down the street to any liquor store, and my little 16-year-old, 15-year-old kid could go in that corner store and buy a bottle of wine because my son is an infidel, and they don't care.
He just said that 13% of the people are on 20% of the drug users. That's actually kind of high to me. We only make up 13% of the population. We should be 13% of the drug users, but we're 20%.
But, Jeff.
Go ahead, Sam.
The question I want to ask you, and we're talking about the drug and everything, the thing is, you think that the war on drugs that we were supposed to resolve the drug problem is working? It's not working at all.
No, they don't want it to work. There's no money in it working. You have to understand that.
Where's the money?
It did all that it was supposed to do, because back in the time when Reagan that comment and said, we're going to be the war of drugs and we're going to take out all the drugs. Look at what's happened. There's more people in prison for drugs than people doing a crime.
Stanley, can I say something? And I'm not trying to. When people throw stuff at Reagan about that, I agree that did happen. But the Democrats, if you watch Rick Ross, go ahead, man. I can't even get my point out. Go ahead.
To make your point, I'm taking Reagan. Everyone said that Reagan, from George Bush to Clinton, all of them were okay with the war.
No, I'm not just saying that, but what I'm trying to say is that both Republicans, there's no way you can do this all over the country in every place where black people are unless Democrats are part of it, Republicans. The Democrats in California, when Rick Ross was selling drugs and moving it ridiculous, $2 million a day, Rick Ross, Maxine Waters said, we stiffened the crack laws to try to stop people because crack was so bad in the 80s. They get a pass on that. I think both of them did. The politicians made these laws, not just the Republicans. That's the thing I was trying to say. Because everybody, Reagan, the Republicans, there's no way you can implement that across the whole country unless Democrats are on board with it. Because you got Democrat-ran states where Democrat black people getting locked up just as much as in Republican states.
And they're running all your inner cities any doggone way where they're selling the most of these drugs at, all of them. Every drug that you got, the major selling places in your inner cities.
The problem I have with the war on drugs is it's not working. How come we're paying people 10 years in prison for just moving somebody who sells drugs? Really?
Stanley, the thing is they're not shutting it down because there's too many people on the payroll, and that's the bottom line. Has nothing to do with whether they had a war on drugs, because if we can go to If we went to, we go to one country and shut it down where nothing can go in and out, we can doggone sure shut down the United States borders.
We just had a CIA plane crash with, like, I don't know how many keys on it. I mean, just, what, a couple of weeks ago? With all those keys on the CIA, we confiscated that from some. That was, they was running drugs and the plane went down. The
precisely.
CIA was.
Hey guys,
I got to be
strong now. Do you all remember the movie, The Untouchables? And Sean made a comment. He said about the liquor. He said, the booze off.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up real bad, man. Let's try it again.
Sean Connery in that movie said that everybody knows where the booze are. It's just a matter of having the cojones to deal with it. So he goes down in the in the basement of the post office and busts up the booze. So, you know, this is in that movie. Everybody knows, hey, listen, you don't think Maxine Waters knows what the drugs are. But if she goes in there and does something about it, she can kiss her career goodbye.
Rick Ross Connect is working for the federal government. The guy that Rick Ross was getting the dope from Columbia, did 6 months. When Rick Ross did 15, 20 years, he did 6 months, got off, and got a job with the federal government. That's all I need to hear.
You know, we interviewed him earlier this year. He's working with a friend of mine dealing with these youth down in Columbus. And so that we interviewed him, and that was a very, very interesting and enlightening thing. Our government, this is where Stanley, our government does some wicked things. And they do wicked things to their own people at times. So, therefore, some things that we do, it's payback. We're getting what we deserve.
Like, but, well, hold on. Like, if you look at what Alex was talking about the other day, I've been looking at that thing I posted on your website, on your Facebook. They were talking about J.P. Morgan and how Nikola Tesla had it set up where everybody could get free energy forever. They couldn't even meter it. And he said, and J.P. Morgan said, if I can't meter it, I got to stop it. That's why, because he had a lot of copper mines, and he knew that copper was going to go into wiring up all these houses.
Absolutely.
And to this day, we're still paying for energy that we don't even have to pay for. And we wouldn't have to have a utility bill outside of water in case.
The same thing that those that think that this administration we have is so pristine, the why you got Warren Buffett out there hollering about, and this is why I think Republicans are stupid, because they will not point out the fact of why that pipeline is not getting built between here and Canada. We're buying oil.
The pipeline wouldn't even do nothing but a 2%, 1% in 3 years.
It
that's
have
not
nothing,
enough.
Doc, I ain't going nowhere where you at right now. Nowhere where you're at. It will do enough if it's there. The point is there's not going to be one because Warren Buffett owns the rail lines that they're shipping the doggone oil on right now. That's why. Yeah. And that's why he's out there championing that stuff. Hold on. That's why he's out there. He's out there championing that stuff about his secretary pays more taxes than he does. That's because his behind is not paying his taxes because he's fighting the government on owing him. So now the government is the problem. This is why we don't vote big government. Or don't want to vote big government. But everybody else that wants to get things does. Go ahead, who's ever's answering that. Somebody wanted to speak.
Jeff, by the same token, we don't want big corporation also to have the control also.
It's too late. It's done.
No. You can't have big corporation without big government and lobbyists. If the corporations couldn't pay these lobbyists to set it up to cheat and they had to compete for real, then it would be different. But we would have people out here right now producing generators that make it where you don't have to have a power bill, but they got it set up where they set the laws up where you got to go through these private corporations to buy your power.
And corporations run the world, Stanley, I'm sorry to tell you.
I'm not saying that they don't run the world, but the abuse that they're having with the inequality that they're having, we got to do something about that.
Okay, now, you've had 4 years of President Barack Obama. What's equal?
Well, he's the only one that's talking about the unfairness there is. He's the only one that's wanting
okay.
to do something with the middle class. He's the only one that's basically
okay.
saying the rich are
now,
getting... Go ahead.
Okay, he's talking about those things, right? Now, what's he doing to help the middle class?
Well, what can he do? The only thing he could do is health care. That's an issue. He tried to do
okay.
something with that. But
okay, oh, okay, okay. Now, I'm middle class, Stanley. And I'm
yeah.
on a fixed income.
Yep.
Guess what? My deductible went up $2,000 because of this health care system.
Not only that, but he could have bought the insurance for you and just paid for anybody that was uninsured. They,
thank
that was
you.
A power move. That was a, that
thank
was
you.
Open,
thank
you.
Know, you
the bill that can be changed at any moment. They can change it. And the Supreme Court said it was constitutional? Come on. Come on. That, I look, if you're going to write a bill that's, look, we can change it any way we see fit. What type of deal is that? That is not.
I have a question. But then my question is, with the health care, with the weed, with the all the new laws that are going into place, is it another divisive way of dividing the wealthy and the middle class? And
yes.
More of a bigger gap. That's what this really is. It's
yes.
about a bigger picture of control. The oil rail, the gas being so damn high. Your lifestyle is disrupted. That's what I continue to tell people. Because I sell real estate by trade, and I said, don't buy just based on your qualifications. Think about your lifestyle, because your lifestyle is disrupted by all this stuff. When people think it isn't, it is. It is. They are becoming wealthier, and you're becoming the less than important.
But you know what, though? I don't even argue. I don't think I can argue with Stanley in that he's right in the divide. I went and looked, I've been doing some looking up at that 1% stuff. He's right. Stanley, you're right. That's happening. But the thing that they, the way they're doing it is how I think Alex always says that Boeing is going through the government to beat down their competition and cheat. John Rockefeller said competition is bad. It's just going to be us three families, four families. We're going to run the world. We're going to beat everybody else down that tries to get in here. So we're going to get in here and we're going to set the laws up where we can be benefited. And then we're going to make it where they get out there and fight against about something. But then on the backside, they're not even really discussing who's really pulling the strings. That I think that's the real key. And if
that
you say that, you're
now,
considered a kook fringe or something, like you guys conspiracy theorists.
Once again, that is the key. And Shirley, I appreciated you saying it just like you did it in Alabama chiming in. You have to understand that you're allowing your government to be your god. You are allowing that, and it's just not gonna help you to allow this to keep on happening this way.
But Jeff, if we take out all the regulations, because that keep on here, the free market would have, it wouldn't.
We're not talking about taking out but Stanley, listen. I'm not talking about taking out all of anybody's regulations. That's foolish, and it's not anything that the Republicans or the right are saying. They're saying to you that you now have an EPA that has shut down a whole entire industry called coal and is going after oil as much as it can without stopping our money system. He can't do it because you have to have some kind of energy running your system, and until you have real viable methods of change, you cannot go to another type of energy that doesn't exist. And that's what he spent all that money for, and petered away or down a drain. You can't do it.
Okay, so then this is my next question, which some people don't want to talk about. I call it one foot on the ground, one foot in the grave. The people who are at an age right now that are running this country are between 70 to 80 years old. Even Warren Buffett's up there, okay? So in the next 15 to 20, these control freaks, these power control freaks, who basically can just say poof and things disappear and it happens, they're going to be passing away. There's going to be a new genre of generation people. They're waiting. They're really waiting for them to die. That's why they're not even trying to get their proposal, their concept, their ideas on the table. They're waiting for that person to die.
Yes, they are.
Do you feel that is also a crucial part of history getting ready to be, I don't know if it's the word disrupted or changed, because you still have Dixiecrats that are in office that were Klansmen, that are congressmen and senators. No one will talk about that. those rooted people are still alive and running this country. But there's still one foot on the ground and one on the grave.
Well, what do you call a Dixiecrat, though?
Well, you know, people who were once Klanmen, but no longer Klanmen, are still congressmen and senators. I mean, they're up there. They're in their 80s and they're in their late 70s. They're still running this country. Now, they don't claim to be that anymore, of course.
So you mean Southern Democrats is what you're saying?
Yes.
That's really who they are. Well, I mean, here's the thing. That's going to take care of itself because the white population is in decline. Hispanics are going to be the rulers of the world. Actually, the Hispanics and the Asians. That's who we have to look to for our leadership in the next, 15, 20 years. Because black people have made themselves non-effect. They are of no consequence in the political system, really. You will see that more and more as time goes on, because here they herded all their people out there this last election. I got to mute you, man, because that noise.
Oh,
no.
I wanted to add a point though about the oil. I looked at something saying that they get 16 cents a gallon, and the government gets 60 cents a gallon.
Right.
Every time a gallon is sold, the government makes more than the oil companies do.
Absolutely.
So, but then the government wants the profits. So, and I'm not saying, I think it's more to it than that because they hide what they really make, but they are reporting 4% as profit. So, I mean, if I had a business, I would bring my do the same thing.
But my question still was not answered. I want to go back to the speaker. Let's talk about, again, the derailment of that big 1% and that middle class and that age factor of rulership. The gods that rule the country are at a point of the changing of the guards that are going to be occurring anywhere between 5 to 10 years. You're starting to see.
Well, the guys that started these families, the guys that started these families, been dead. John D. Rockefeller, Carnegie, all these guys been dead. I mean, you got people in line. Their families are going to be around. They got somebody to take the helm of these companies, and they're going to run things the way they always been running them. None of these people that live around 1900 are dead.
Okay,
not just oil.
Legislators that are elected officials that have been in office between 20 to 40 years. I'm not talking about powers of Rockefellers of that nature.
Yeah,
talking about that.
That, like I said before, that's going to take care of itself because those people are going to die out, and they're going to get beat, you know, in the next cycles and things like that because the way that the country is running. What you got to look out for is what you just saw happen in this last election. You have a group of people that they're going to try to double down and make more of so that they don't ever have a chance of losing an election. So in other words, look at the downsizing that's happening as a result of the Obamacare that's supposed to help us, quote unquote. We're not thinking, okay? People are going from cutting their full-time people down to 30 hours a week so they don't have to pay for their health care. Understand, that's what you voted for. And that's,
right.
If you lose your job, that's why.
And let me add this to it. Not only is that a factor, the factor that people are going to learn who are entrepreneurs or who own their own business are going to learn to operate efficiently and more effectively with less people. And then when the economy, quote-unquote, does turn around or things are supposed to be better, they're not going to hire you back because they realize I can keep more gold in my pot and work this person like a dog and make him do three jobs when I had three employees, now I only have one.
Right. That's what they're going to do. And the thing is the stupid people that thought that they were going to get something because the unions. See, they're trying to press the unions in the running. Everything else. My goodness, man, I got to move that. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. It looks like he's loading trucks or something.
Well, go sit in the car somewhere and lock the windows up. Then you can talk to him. Go in the bathroom. Sit in the toilet. Go sit on the toilet.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
You know, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, I think
everybody that voted for Romney is just as bad as the ones that voted for Obama. They're just part of the problem.
Agree with you, including myself, because I was really, it was a protest vote against the left, but because I didn't want Romney. I wanted, believe it or not, Newt Gingrich, because I thought that Newt Gingrich would have a intellectual plan to deal with what we're dealing with versus, you know, just all of this fluff. We didn't have much to choose from. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we did. We had Ron Paul. He was the best person on the national platform.
Yeah, but both. But listen. Ron Paul was crazy when it came to foreign policy. You couldn't wrap your
head around.
He was crazy.
He's brilliant.
Ron Paul is the one that said, yeah, but how do you say it doesn't matter whether Iran gets a nuclear weapon or not?
No.
How do you wrap?
He didn't say that.
He did say that. Oh my God. Let me see if I can pull it up while you guys talk. He did too say that. Alex, you got a lot of noise going on too.
Who, me?
No, Alex, I said.
Oh, Alex. You know,
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Hold on, be right back after the news.
A total loss after a big fire yesterday.
No, I have to admit, Alex, Ron Paul would have been my.
Well, I said the Ron Paul people are not done. You know, in California, when Ron Paul came to California, he came and he spoke to UCLA. They had over 10,000 young people that came out. They were standing in the streets to hear this man. Look, here you have a younger generation that wants to go back to the Constitution. I'm not going to argue the foreign policy matter because he's right. I think that's where Paul lost, or a lot of people took him off his left. But we have to understand that legislation cannot be passed without going through Congress anyway. So no matter how you look at these presidents or these candidates are nominated for presidency, you got to keep in mind, if you figure out you like 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 or 7 out of 10 of the ideas that they propose, the 3 that you don't like has to still go through legislation. Even the 10 that you like has to still go through legislation. The Ron Paul people can stay a factor if they don't want to be a fad. Otherwise, they'll fade away. But I think that when you think of the Gary Johnson and you think about Rand, I mean, Ron has set this up so Rand comes into play, and he might soften his viewpoints on policies because he can learn from maybe some of the oops of his father's campaign and make it his own campaign in 2016. I think that 2016 you're going to have a Rand Paul factor and you're going to have a Hillary Clinton factor. And I still think the true Republican method is going to be disrupted because they still don't have a plan of action or even a candidate. Even though they talk about Rubio, they're not addressing the current issues so that the people still connected to that party. So therefore, the Republicans are going to still have another problem in 4 years from now.
People don't realize that the Republican Party is dead. The writing's on the wall, but they're just trying to get what they can get with their money. Well, I mean, with their business ties and relationships. But
I disagree with that. I think the Republican Party is put in a great position right now, and I'm going to tell you why. Because everything that the Democrats and the unions and those who want to put the metal to the floor to the metal are going to get it. And the American people who don't care about being taxed and keep saying it's okay to tax me, they're going to be able to breathe and live what they've now voted into law. So you're going to reap what you sow. And after you've sown it, you're going to realize you didn't like the threads that have gone through your system, and you're going to make a dramatic change. America's going to go back to wanting more entrepreneurs, wanting more business and limited government. So
the
Republicans concepts and ideas are not dead, and they're still going to be alive because they're going to come to be true.
The Republicans are no different from Democrats, and that's what more and more people are waking up to.
You need to turn off your you got feedback in the back, brother. You got to turn that off.
I was drafted in the Air Force all through the '60s. We were standing up against the Soviets. They had like 30,000 nuclear weapons with intercontinental missiles. Just think of the agitation and the worrying of a country that might get a nuclear weapon someday, and just think of how many nuclear weapons surround Iran. The Chinese are there, the Indians are there, the Pakistanis are there, the Israelis are there, the United States is there, all these countries. China has nuclear weapons. Why wouldn't it be natural that they might want a weapon? There'd be, internationally, they'd be given more respect. Why should we write people off? There was, you know, in the 50s, we at least talked to them, at least our leaders and Reagan talked to the Soviets. What's so terribly bad about this? And countries that you put sanctions on, you are more likely to fight fight them. I say a policy of peace is free trade, stay out of their internal business, don't get involved in these wars, and just bring our troops home.
That's Ron Paul on Iran.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, whoa, you guys. Did you hear Ron Paul tell you what I told you he said?
He did say that. I love him for what he said. He said the truth.
I said, did you hear Ron Paul tell you what I told you he said?
But yeah, he didn't say okay. what you said he said.
Yes, he did.
Yes,
he said, what's so bad about Iran getting a nuclear weapon?
Yeah.
So he said, it doesn't matter.
Look,
they would be respected more in the world if they did.
Look,
that's craziness. That's insanity.
You are missing the point.
Okay.
This is the reason why Republicans are. This is why the Republican Party is shrinking. You know, and it continues to shrink every year because of this nonsense right here. Because all he said. Of course, they would want a weapon because they're surrounded by them. But he's saying, let's change our course because what we're doing is obviously not working. Let's try free trade, talk to people in peace. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with you Republicans?
That's because you have a man that says, if I get it, I'm going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
Use the Constitution. Then use the Constitution. You declare war, you go in and win it, and we bring the troops home. But that's not what you Republicans want to do.
Listen,
you want to go in like you did with Iraq and start nation building and start sucking people's oil and all this stuff.
Hold on, South. You're going to be next.
Let me ask him this. Are you going to let, now if I'm a general, are you going to let me go in there and fight the war the way I need to fight it in order to win it? Or you want me to go in there and be a humanitarian? Because if you're going to let me go in there and fight the war the way I need to win it, I can have the war over in a week. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
We could have been in a week. We could have been in and out of Iraq in a week. But that's not that wasn't the goal.
No, you couldn't because that was
the fucking goal. Goals
no,
were,
it sure
Republicans
wasn't.
Want to do nation building.
Hold it, Alex.
You want to talk about being asinine?
Okay, you want to talk about being asinine? We weren't in there nation building. We were in there keeping Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. That's why you were there. Okay, and that's why the president has fallen on his behind with it and is allowing them. And they said just 2 days ago, we're going to increase our quest to get a weapon, they said. They didn't say get nuclear energy for our country. Hold on. Let's listen to this one now.
How does President Paul plan to stop Israel from acting?
I think Israel has to do what they think is in their best interest, and they shouldn't have to come and ask us permission. If they have border problems or if they have trouble with Iran, they didn't ask us permission to bomb the nuclear site in Iraq in the early 1980s, and I think that was fine. But I think they become too dependent on us, not only for money, and they economically become dependent. They become dependent in that they can't even work toward peace with a country that we might not like them to do it. But I don't want any of this foreign aid, Pakistan or anybody else, because the principle is wrong and because it doesn't achieve anything. If we stop all the foreign aid, you say, oh, you're going to hurt Israel. But, you know, the Arab and the Muslim nations get twice as much money. Israel, and there are people in Israel. It's not like 100% of the people in Israel or every Jew in this country believes that we should have the foreign policy that we have. So I think Israel should be in charge of their sovereignty, and we should never intrude on what they do. And if they want to attack Iran, we shouldn't tell them what to do or what not to do.
Yep.
Now, that one I agree with.
I love Ron Paul. That one
I agree with. But for him to say, but for them to, but see, that's not what he said in the other soundbite.
Only what he said is promote
free trade and freedom. And if you when you do sanctions, it just promotes war. That's all he's saying. If you want to go to war, then go to war. But don't go through all this shenanigans. It doesn't accomplish anything. Actually, this accomplishes the opposite of what you want to do.
Well, that's true.
And to us, and stop doing some nation building, like he said. We got to stop doing nation building. And like he said, 9/11 was what 9/11 happened because it was a blowback. Because we've done too much nation building. We've been interfering too much in the streets.
614, you're on air.
Hi, Jeff. I just called in to say hi. Tracy just left my hospital room.
Oh, great, great. Well, so. Tell Steve that you're all right so he knows.
Oh, is Steve on the line?
No, he's listening, though.
Oh, Steve, I am healed in the name of Jesus.
All right. All right. All of us, don't forget to send a prayer for Diva because she had not been feeling well for a few weeks. And so we don't want none of our people to drop behind. So we will, as much as those that do believe in prayer, please use it to raise my sister up off her sick bed.
Amen.
All right.
But who was that that you was just playing?
That was Ron Paul.
Okay. I would have to say that I agree with everything that he said. The only thing was the last part where he felt like if Israel wanted to go to war with Iran, then they should be allowed to. That's fine. But should we use our resources to help them if they decide to go to war with Iran? Is the only thing that I have a question.
He said no.
I say.
And I would have to agree with him. If they
well, I don't agree with him.
War with
and you
Iran,
should have voted for Ron Paul.
No, I agree with that part, but it's a lot of stuff that I disagree with Ron Paul.
Well, the thing is I'll say this. I heard what you said, and I heard what he said. But if you don't help your ally defeat a person that is saying they want to destroy them,
they're not an ally, though.
They are an ally. They're your only ally.
We don't have a treaty with them.
Is,
there's nothing signed in the Senate for Israel. They're
okay.
Not an ally. I don't know why y'all keep saying that.
My thing is, if someone says, I'm going to punch you in your face, I mean, they're just talking. They're just talking. You don't move unless there is actual action. And I understand Israel needs to be proactive, but what is Iran actually doing that is showing that there is an imminent threat that we need to come to their aid if they decide to go to war now?
Palestinians bombing Israel, shooting rockets over there. Hey, it's pretty obvious when you can, you know, after you pick up the resistance.
But that's not Iran.
It is Iran. Diva, hold on, sweetie. Those rockets that are coming into Israel are Iranian missiles. They are shipping them into Gaza, and they're launching them from Gaza.
What about all the American missiles being launched at Palestinians and around the world? And how about in Pakistan and Yemen
and
Qatar
and when do Palestinians get? When do Palestinians get a rocket leveled? Yes, we do. That's the asinine stuff I'm talking about right there.
Because
American missiles are not thrown unless it's in defense, in response.
Bombing Pakistan? Why are we bombing Yemen? Why are we bombing Somalia? Why did we bomb Libya? That wasn't in defense. Why did we bomb Qatar?
Libya. Okay, now Libya. We bombed Libya.
You want to cherry pick.
No. I'm with you. I'm with you on all of them.
You have an agreement? Hey, Jeff, if we bombed in Pakistan, and why are we not at war with Pakistan? Because we have an agreement with Pakistan. And we're not going after Pakistani people. We're going after Al-Qaeda.
Hey,
right.
Come
okay.
on. Let's not be ridiculous.
Right. And how about you stop looking at American propaganda, look at real news, and see that we're killing innocent civilians, women and children in Pakistan and in other countries?
Doc, when you have evil people, I hate to say it, but sometimes when you chase the bank robber, or the shoot down person that had shot down somebody, some innocent people on the side get killed. If you don't bring it under control yourself, then that's what happens.
Alex, they have the same mentality. The Hiroshima bomb, they're saying the same thing. If we, oh, too bad. We sent that nuclear bomb. Sorry.
Hey, Stanley.
If it wasn't for the nuclear bomb, it would have been okay.
If they had not attacked us on a... Go ahead, Sal.
If December 7th, 1941, a date that will live in infamy, was what caused the Japanese to receive a nuclear bomb. I rest my case. If you go slap the biggest kid on the block...
That's the worst thing ever as an American. That's pure arrogance.
I have no problem with World War II. I have no problem with World War II because we actually declared that war, but we didn't declare war on Pakistan. We're just bombing them. We didn't declare war on Yemen or Somalia or Qatar or Libya.
Wait a minute. Who are you bombing in Pakistan?
These drones are bombing incessantly every day.
Hold on, Alex. Go ahead. Who are we bombing in Pakistan?
These drones are bombing people all the time in Pakistan.
Didn't the president say last month he was not going to bomb in Pakistan anymore?
He hasn't stopped.
Well, did he say he did?
I'm not for Obama. I believe he did, but I mean, I don't believe him because there's still news reports over there of bombings happening.
And they didn't know about that wall, and they didn't know he was over there. They've been watching that man for a long time, and all the time. Everything is strategic with government and people, and that's what we all got to keep in mind. It's all a strategic move. We knew that. They didn't know that big old ass wall they were building back there was keeping
We're in terrestrial.
Oh, that's why I forgot that word. I can't say. You know what I'm talking about that. But the bottom line is that we know that there's a lot of things going on that are out of our control. What can we control? I mean, we only got 2 minutes left in the show, Jeff. Tell me, what can we control?
Well, you know what? We're going to talk about it Monday. Everybody have a great weekend here. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. I got the smartest callers in the world, and I just want people to know it. So give us a call. Listen in on Monday, WSOM 600 AM, iHeartRadio WSOM as well, and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. Thank you, Stanley, Alex, my girl Shirley, South Carolina, Alabama. I had to mute you, bro, because you're making too much noise. But we'll hear from some of you guys and some new people next week. God bless and we'll see you.